Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. Today is January the 12th in the year 2020. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm both the Armchair Survivalist and the owner of Survival Enterprises, survivalenterprises.com, se1.us. Welcome to the show. If you're listening to me, you obviously know how to listen to me, at least one way, but there's a whole bunch of different ways to listen to me. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you can click on the chat room there and you can listen to it as it's being broadcast. And I broadcast between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific time. So, you know, it transposes all the way through the East Coast and to all the ships at sea and all over the world, for that matter. And if you scroll down on any page at armchairsurvivalist.com, you will see, well, there's different ways to listen to me. I've got over 20 different type of podcast venues, Spotify, iHeartRadio. I mean, there's all kinds of different ones there. I'm being broadcast over Global Star 3 satellite. YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. Also, all of my shows, I keep notes on what I talk about. And if you go to the left-hand side of any page at armchairsurvivalist.com, you'll see the little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. If you click on that, you can download any of my previous shows. And if you click on instead a link on the left-hand side that says show notes, well, that'll take you to the show notes. It'll take you a page that lists all of the dates of my shows. And you pick a date and pick a title and click on it, and it'll take you to that individual page where you can click on any of the links I talk about. I don't really want you taking my word for anything. That's why I post notes, so that you can find source and see for yourself what I'm talking about and verify for yourself what I'm talking about. So we'll get a few things out of the way for the company, Survival Enterprises. And by the way, we have a store in Hayden, Idaho. We have some things we're closing out: food tablets, heirloom seeds, pepper seeds. And if you come into the store, we're downsizing our house. So I'm bringing all kinds of oddball stuff, everything from a pressure cooker to glassware to televisions to a 1951 Marine Corps jacket. I've got all kinds of stuff here. We're just, you know, it's almost like walking in a thrift shop. I'm also a distributor for Spyderco knives and cold steel knives. We have those cold steel canes here. Those of you who don't want to be walking around with a sword or a gun in your hand, yet you put yourself in position where sometimes it would be best to have a weapon, well, just get yourself one of these cold steel canes. I have different ones, 11 layers of fiberglass to closed cell polypropylene. These things are nice canes. They're weird, some of them. One of them looks like a dragon head, but you can beat a car to death with these things. So we've got a bunch of different stuff in there. We still can't take credit cards or debit cards yet. We're still on the embargo list because we're in the state of Idaho, and I sell CBD. Less than 5% of my product line, and yet the banking and financial institutions think, well, he must be a con man or selling marijuana or some such garbage. So as of now, they still don't have it set up in the state of Idaho. And it's Idaho and South Dakota. They still don't have it set up for us to take credit cards. There's a warning. Many of you use Firefox as a browser. There's a major warning out right now. Firefox is extremely susceptible to a hack. The last update they did, which was a week or so ago, it installed a backdoor. If you have Firefox on your phone, on your television, on any smart device, tablet, computer, laptop, update it immediately. I mean immediately. Even if it's not running, it still opens up a backdoor. So if you're listening to me, hit pause and go update your Firefox. All right, let's get into health and food. Now, there is a thing that's happening nationwide, and it's about it's a big warning on grain-free animal food. Not just dogs, but cats. And we're looking at this as well. Because there's so much Roundup being used, glyphosates in grains, people don't understand why their dog or cat is ending up with all kinds of intestinal problems and various diseases. Well, people are putting two and two together and realize, well, it's the grain. So they get the grain-free food, and it's supposed to help. Except what's happening is now dogs and cats are getting sick, and vets can't figure it out. There's a warning on the problem with grain-free food. I don't know how often we're going to have to go through this, but a lot of this stuff comes from China, and China is at war with us. Everything from China, in one way or the other, including your clothing, is toxic. I will have a link, and again, you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you click on the left-hand side where it says show notes, and I'll have a link there, and it'll talk about the warning on the grain-free food. Now, something else popped up. And understand, we're in health and food department here. Something else popped up, and I thought it was kind of strange because I've been talking about it for 10, 15 years. Medications that change who we are. And this is a link on the BBC's website. They're talking about various drugs that people now are taking. See, 20 years ago, maybe 25% of the population in the United States were taking some kind of drug. Now it's about 80%. And a lot of these drugs are psychotropic. They're because you have anxiety, because you can't sleep, because you have pains, you're just on and on and on. So these scientists are realizing that these drugs are leading to road rage, pathological gambling, complicated acts of fraud, turning people neurotic, destroying relationships. It's like you can't lie about it anymore. And the government does. I hear people say, oh, well, Food and Drug Administration would never allow something that would harm the population into use, would they? And I laugh because the FDA is bought and paid for by Big Pharma. So the FDA allows all kinds of crap to be given to us. These drugs do all kinds of stuff. It could be a statin. And when I say drug, I mean drug. I don't care if you bought it on the street or if your doctor said, here, take this. So what's been happening is the drugs that people have been told to take, and I'll have a link to this, and you can go look at it yourself, are doing everything from turning, and I'm serious, one person was turned into a gambler, another person was turned into a gay sex addict, and it was nothing, it was totally strange that it occurred. There's an anti-obesity drug called Duromine, which is really screwing up people's their brains. So there's so much stuff going on, and it's causing people to be different. If you've noticed, if you have a loved one and you're on some kind of drug or they're on some kind of drug and you've noticed a change in their psychological makeup or their emotional tone or their willingness to try and finish a task at hand, these things, you might want to look at the drugs. You might want to take a closer look at the drugs. All right, now we're getting into Islam. Let's see. New Year's Eve, the Muslims in France. They have a unique way to celebrate in France. The invaders lit fire to well over 1,000 vehicles. Last year, it was only 935 vehicles that the Muslims set on fire. This year, it was about 1,020. Do you know that there's over 3 million Muslims right now in England? Over 3 million Muslims in England. Speaking of stupid, somebody in our State Department decided to send dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, trained bomb-sniffing dogs to Muslim countries to buy favor with the Muslims, as if that ever is going to happen. So can you imagine what's happened to these dogs? A lot of them have died, been poisoned, neglected. I don't know who's the idiot that thought that one up, but I think that that went sideways real fast and bad. You all know about the fires that are happening in Australia. I have a link to a page that has a graphic that is showing the actual fires from a satellite. It looks like the whole nation's on fire. It changes too daily. It's like the whole East Coast is on fire. The whole North Coast is on fire. Some smattering areas in the middle. And they have lost over 20 million acres to fire. And this is an example of two different things. One, the Liberals have taken over Australia. Australia is a socialist country now with psychotics running it and eco-psycho nuts. These people won't allow homeowners to do small burns to get rid of the brush around their houses. So they're not allowing any kind of proper cultivative activities throughout all of Australia, and it made it a giant firebrand. So any little fire, boom, goes up like crazy. And speaking of any little fire, over 225 people have been arrested so far, and another 50 are being investigated for arson. These fires, as opposed to some of the psychotics there that are claiming that climate change is causing the fires, it's Muslims. They have caught and captured so many Muslims now that have gone through in Australia and started these fires. It's ridiculous. Well, let's see. And we're not free of that kind of psychosis. We have a Muslim in Illinois who decided to praise Allah and to teach Christians a lesson, he went to churches and slashed their tires. Let's see, 19 cars at different churches, and he did it because he doesn't like Christians. But that's not a hate crime. That's not a hate crime. Let's see, Texas has come forward, and the governor of Texas has said, all right, I got enough Muslims here. I don't need any more. Each state is asked by the federal government, how many invaders do you want in your state each year? And the moron that we just elected here in Idaho has said, send us about 150 of them, right? We'll shove them all down into Twin Falls area. That's where all the Muslims are in Idaho right now. And I hope they stay there. You know, the yogurt that comes out of Twin Falls, and I forgot the name. I keep wanting to say Giovanni, but it's not. It's something. There's a yogurt that's made in Twin Falls. The owner of the company is Muslim. All he hires are the scum of Islam. These are the Somalis, and he brings them in. And now this, our governor in Idaho is allowing it. But the governor in Texas said, that's it, no more. We don't need any more Muslims in Texas. Sorry. Smart man. You know, I have links to all my sites. The data that I give you guys. And I save my shows. And my shows, I saved the shows back to 2007. Before that, I never saved anything. And I'm looking at a show that I did in probably about 2010 about some genocide that was performed in Bangladesh by Muslims, of course. And the link I had to it disappeared. The website was taken down. And then there was another link that I had as a secondary link, and it was on YouTube, and it was canceled because the person violated their terms of service. And there was another link that on Google, and it was deleted because it violated their terms of service. So I finally found it. If you go to archive.org, it's called the Wayback Machine. And if you know the website, you can put it in there, type it in, and they will tell you, if they have tracked that website, and they've tracked most everything on the internet, they can go back years and years and years and years. So I went back to 1971, the Bangladesh genocide committed by Muslims. We're talking millions of people were murdered by Muslims, men, women, and children. And this was, see, Pakistan used to be part of India, and India's Hindu, and Pakistan, that area of Pakistan is Muslim. And the Indians didn't want anything to do with them, so they gave them their own country. They cut a chunk off of India and said, here, keep all your psychosis in there. And they didn't. They started Operation Searchlight, the Pakistanis did, and they started murdering, just walking door to door, killing about 3 million people and raped about 400,000. And if you understand Muslims, they don't really care who they rape, men, women, goats, doesn't matter. So this is just to let you know that a lot of links and a lot of truth out there is being rewritten and hidden. Of course, that's nothing new to you guys. You knew all about that already, didn't you? And now we're getting into the liberal psychosis, the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, and fear. In other words, Democrats. There was a professor that was fired because he argued against global warming. And he said, this is hogwash. There's no science to prove it. This is ridiculous. He got fired. He sued, and he won $800,000. Because of that. Okay, you're going to have to figure this one out for me because I'm not quite sure. It's from the Mirror in the UK. It says, transgender man gives birth to non-binary partner's baby with female sperm donor. First off, I'm kind of confused. How does a female have sperm? I don't understand that myself. I'm sure somebody does. But I sure don't. So this transgender male, in other words, it was a female that had decided it wanted to be a male. And this female that decided to be a male married a male that decided to be a female. I don't know. You'll have to go read the link because it just confuses the hell out of me. Let's see. Oh, speaking of sexual psychosis, Marvel. I used to like Marvel movies. They're good science fiction movies. They've decided to go full bore pervert. So every Marvel movie from now on is going to have a lead character of either a transvestite, a butch dyke, or a flat homosexual. This is the Marvel. I'm serious. See, right now it's all hip to be a pervert in the United States. A sexual pervert, in fact, is the new privileged class. And then everyone wonders why the U.S. has the highest rate of children living with a single parent in the world. Couldn't figure that one out. Let's see, last year, over 400,000 anchor babies were born in the United States. You know what an anchor baby is? It's when an alien, whether criminal or visiting or immigrant, comes to the United States and pops out a baby. For some psychotic reason, they're now allowed to be a citizen of the United States, this baby. It's called anchor baby. And they call it an anchor because it holds the whole ship of that family. So once the baby's a citizen, well, you got to make mommy a citizen. And you got to make daddy and grandpa and grandma and the 14 uncles and aunts. So remember what we're under here. This is called the liberal psychosis. So each one of these things is psychotic that I read about. Atlanta has a great chief of police, a female, who really has no clue what the hell she's doing, has decided that from now on, the police will no longer give chase against criminals. So if you're a criminal, and you rob a bank, and you get in a car, they will not chase you. So that'll save them from possibly harming somebody in a chase, which happens. You know, cops pretty much don't give a damn about what they're doing. When they're trying to get the bad guy, why, they'll kill 14 civilians in the area, either with their spray and pray routine, or they'll just run them over, and then, of course, after the inquest, they're never have any guilt involved there. Something just happened in California, which I've been saying for years was going to happen. I warned my brother this was going to happen. He had a little ranch in California, and he had his own well. And one day he calls me up and said, "Hell yeah, the water guys were out here putting a meter on my well." I said, "You let them?" He goes, "Well, yeah, what could it hurt?" I said, "Yeah, why don't you ask them about that meter? Because the meter is remote controlled and it can turn your water flow on and off." And he said, "Well, they'll never do anything like that." I said, "Oh, they won't? First off," he goes, "this water's mine. I own the well." So the first thing that happened after 5 years is they decided to charge him a basic fee for using the water in the aquifer. And then the basic fee, that was just once a month, right? Just not a big deal. It was like $5. And then they started to charge him on how much he was using. And now in California, there is no water shortage in California. There is none. Yet the new California water law restricts how much water people can use. I knew this was coming because, you know, it's called the camel's nose under the tent. And that's all that they needed. And in Virginia, you guys are screwed. Virginia, of course, you know about all the gun control crap that's going to be hitting you pretty much now. Well, now they also want to close all gun ranges, inside or outside, unless it's government controlled. They want to ban shooting in the woods and no backyard shooting. So if I got 10 acres and I go behind my house, that's called backyard. So they want to ban all the shooting in the woods and shooting in the backyard, shooting in the gun ranges, shooting in all that stuff. And here's another thing I just saw the other day. Virginia also wants to ban cell phones for anyone under 21 because they're not responsible enough to have a cell phone. And I have people who call me and who live in Virginia and they bitch about it. And I'm saying, why the hell did you get out? People got out of Nazi Germany. People got out of China. People got out of Russia. Before the communists took over. So you got your warnings. The communists are taking over. Get out. Hallmark. Well, a few months ago, I'm watching TV, and here's a commercial from Hallmark greeting cards. And they start showing two guys hugging on the couch, a wedding of two girls kissing, two guys kissing. I'm thinking, this is just utterly disgusting, and I'll never buy another Hallmark card the rest of my life. Well, it's not just me saying that. Now they have to lay off over 400 people because it's the economy, don't you know? It's the economy. It has nothing to do with anything they did. It's just the economy. All right, we're out of the psychosis. Now we're going to get into Trump. So last Friday, Trump whacks a bad guy. Not Trump, of course, but you know, one of our military operatives or CIA operatives decided to put a missile up this guy's snoot. And he's a real bad guy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's one of these people that have caused so much death and destruction throughout the world. And when I say death and destruction, I'm talking in the 2,000-plus deaths. And, of course, immediately, all the Democrats, communists, and socialists worldwide condemned Trump for it. So Iran dramatizes retaliation and launches a dozen or so missiles at us, but in the Middle East, okay? Except they made a phone call before, 5 hours before, said, hey, we're launching some missiles. Don't worry, we're not going to hit anybody, okay? And it's true. That's true. So we, you know, there was like $48 worth of damage to a couple cactuses off to the side in one of these places. But the bigwigs in Iran were happy about it. And then Iran also, one of the guys got a little skittish and thought that a Ukrainian jet that was taking off from Tehran was an enemy plane, so they shot it down too. You know, the thing is that Bush and the abomination both had the ability to kill this guy that Trump whacked, and they both gave it up. Of course, you know, the abomination was a Muslim anyway. And just so you guys know, if you don't know this, when he was giving $150 billion in cash to Iran, he also gave citizenship to 2,500 Iranians, which we don't know what they are doing or where they are. So they're in here. They're in the United States. In fact, one of them was found with knives, hatchet, and over $20,000 in cash 2 miles from Mar-a-Lago a couple days ago. This is ridiculous. The head commie in the House, Pelosi, has given up, and she is going to be sending the impeachment paperwork to the Senate next week. And we'll see what comes of that. They can't keep playing this game, because she was going to hold, here's the thing, she was going to hold impeachment paperwork for ever until Trump did something else that the communists thought was bad, and then they would add it to the paperwork. So I don't know. We'll see what happens next week. So just pay attention. Stay tuned to this channel, and you're going to hear about it. But I got to tell you something. I don't do this, okay? Don't think I did this myself. I don't surf YouTube looking for cute cat pictures and see other things. And somebody, one of my listeners, sent me this link to a woman who's an Iranian American. And she had something to say about this, about Trump whacking this guy.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sagar, also known as Erica. I am Iranian American. I have spent the last 12 years of my life as a human rights activist working on Iran policy, watching the Middle East. And many of you probably before today had never ever heard of the name Mohandas or Soleimani. I feel like we're living in the Twilight Zone. I'm completely outraged at this notion that the propaganda machine that is the media is glorifying Qasem Soleimani. Do you people know that this man has not only the blood of Americans on his hands, but the blood of Iranians, Iraqis, Yemenis, Afghanis? Since when did we start mourning the death of a terrorist? I've had friends on the left, both Iranian and American, attack me for echoing the rhetoric of my people. The people in Iran are happy that this man who was responsible for the slaughter of so many people is gone. Like, where was your outrage last month when the regime slaughtered 1,600 kids for peaceful protests? Where's your outrage for the thousands of political prisoners that are in Iran right now? Where was your outrage when the Hashd-e-Shaabi took over the American embassy and like vandalized it and killed an American contractor? And people on the ground, they don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. In fact, there's a lot of trending hashtags right now from Iran on Twitter. Thank you, Trump. We thank you. Thank you for Soleimani. Go look for yourselves. You know, honestly, guys, if you don't know anything about the Middle East, please keep your opinions to yourself. I beg you, because all you're doing is you're distorting the flow of information. You're drowning out the sound that's coming out from the ground. People in Iran are happy. In the Middle East, it's cultural practice to, when something wonderful happens, when there's a marriage or when there's a celebration, you give out cookies, you make cakes. And you should see the videos that are coming out. People are baking cakes. People are giving out cookies in public in the streets because they're happy. I mean, I don't know. Do we live in a closed society that we don't know that most people in, you know, in the Middle East are not free? Specifically in Iran, it's an Islamic state. There's no freedom of religion. There's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of peaceful protest. For anyone who disagrees with the regime, they're arrested, they're jailed, they're tortured. Yeah, there's a lot of video coming out right now about the funeral of Qasem Soleimani. It's so much propaganda, you guys. The regime has been saying death to America for 40 years. They forced us in school to say death to America. I was 7 years old. I didn't know what I was saying. And the people that are saying that right now, they're called the Basiji. They're the ones that get paid to kill people on the street. So yeah, they're going to say death to America, but that's not the people. The majority of the people in the Middle East don't hate America. They don't hate Donald Trump. And I'm probably going to lose a lot of friends for saying this, but thank you, Mr. Trump, for making a very hard decision and for having the moral courage to do something.
I knew some Iranians years ago, and they would tell me about living in Iran. And it was a beautiful country, and he had lots of beautiful pictures and photographs. And he used to warn me, and this is, we're talking in the 80s. He said, it's going to change because the people that are going to be controlling Iran are insane. They are Muslim like everyone else is, but they want to go back to the old days 1,000 years ago where if you got caught sleeping with a woman, they'd kill you or stone you to death. And he would tell us all these stories, and lo and behold, they came true. The people in Iran are not like you think. We're being propagandized here that everybody in the Middle East hates the United States. The Democrats are telling us that everybody, all the Middle Easterners hate the United States, and that we hate everyone there and blah, blah, blah. It's not real. None of it's real. If you've learned nothing from me, learn this. Everything you hear is propaganda on the mainstream media. Every single thing. On TV, on radio, magazine, newspapers. And newspapers are a whole different ball of wax, and someday we'll get into that. Meanwhile, now we're going into government threat. I remember listening to stories from survivors of one of the Auschwitz death camps. My grandfather, other old men and elders that remember when communism first started to pop its head up and start screwing up life on this planet. And they warned us. And I remember all through my life that I would hear people warning us. And now you have blogs warning us what's going to happen. And you have radio shows warning us what's going to happen. And the sad thing is we're not listening to any of it. It's coming. You know, it's the deep state. And the deep state is not what you think it is. The deep state is all of the intelligence agencies within the United States. Because they control pretty much everything. Do you know who they are? There's 16 of them. The 16th Air Force, Intelligence and Security Command, Central Intelligence Agency, Coast Guard Intelligence, Defense Intelligence Agency, Office of Intelligence and Counterintelligence, Office of Intelligence and Analysts, Bureau of Intelligence and Research, Office of Terrorism and Financial Intelligence, Office of National Security Intelligence, Intelligence Branch, Marine Corps Intelligence Activity, National Geospatial Intelligence Activity, National Reconnaissance Office, National Security Agency, Central Security Service, Office of Naval Intelligence. These are the main branches of the deep state. And underneath them are 88 other agencies. And then under them are over 800 different groups and agencies. This is the deep state. This is what Eisenhower warned us about when he said this.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, 1846, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportion. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
Well, we dropped a ball on that one, didn't we? All right, so now we're going to get into what I'm talking about. We're going to be talking about, this is thyroid and Lugol's iodine. And I'll tell you what prompted this. I've done this show. I did this show 10 years ago. Lady comes into the store, and she's telling me she's getting a refill of colloidal silver. See, if you buy colloidal silver from us in a quart, you can come in and refill it for $15. So she's doing that. And she says, yeah, you know, I can't believe it, but I cured my eczema. And I go, well, with what? Well, I got that Lugol's iodine you have, and I got this colloidal silver, and every day I'd take a shot glass of colloidal silver and put 5 drops of Lugol's iodine in it and drink it every day. It took 2 weeks, and my eczema started to go away. So that prompted me to think, you know, there's got to be more to this than just Lugol's iodine to help cure and treat different thyroid problems. So I started doing more research than what I used to do. And as usual, I have all the research that I did up my show notes, armchairsurvivalist.com. Again, show notes. And then you'll click on today's show, the January 12th, and you'll find all of these different things about iodine. You know, we all know iodine is a good antimicrobial. You know, you get a cut, you put iodine on, but what you're used to is this iodine with alcohol in it. Now, that's toxic. You're not going to put that under your tongue. You're not going to take that internally. So the iodine that you're going to hear a lecture by Dr. Brownstein, by the way. He is at the American Nutrition Association, and he is doing this lecture called Iodine for Thyroid and Health, a Holistic Approach. And this was done on May 6th in the year 2011. And he's talking to second-year medical students. And you'll hear me talking about a little bit about it, but I'm going to tell you some things about iodine that most people don't even know, and they're not going to tell you anywhere because they don't use it. It was invented or discovered in the early 1800s not to treat anything but to cure thyroid problems. Everything from a goiter to hyperthyroidism to hypothyroidism to Hutchinson's disease. And it works. And we've been in business, Survival Enterprises, 35 years, and we've been selling Lugol's iodine. And Lugol's iodine is the only iodine that you can get, that you can take, that actually acts like it's supposed to, and it's medicinal. There's a lot of copycats out there, and you'll see. Let me tell you what this has done for me, personally. We went out to eat. And we went to a seafood restaurant, and I usually don't eat at seafood restaurants. But I did, and 2 hours later, I'm starting to get cramps in my stomach. And this is a sign of botulism. This is ptomaine. So it's not like a cramp comes and then goes away, and then it comes again and it goes away. Cramp comes, and then it gets stronger, and then it gets stronger, and then it gets stronger, and I realize I've been poisoned. I took 20 drops of Lugol's iodine, put it in about 4 ounces of water. And that's a lot. Usually for an emergency dose like this, you take 10. and I swallowed it down, and within 5 minutes I was back asleep. So this stuff is very powerful. It kills all known microbes. You got something wrong in your stomach. I don't mean just an upset stomach from eating too much greasy food, but if you've been poisoned and it's a bacterial virus, it kills it right now. Iodine is necessary in the human body. You'll hear the doctor talk about this, and I'll talk a little bit more at the end of the lecture. So go ahead and listen.
He did about an hour and a half to 2 hour speech in the university, his second year med students, and I edited it down to about 68 minutes. You all are going to be second year med students listening to this speech on iodine. Now understand, it's a speech, a lecture, so he's going to be showing some slides, which obviously you're not going to be seeing. And it's a YouTube video, so I'll have the link. I'll post the link there so you all can go there and bookmark it and watch it at your leisure, the whole thing. You know, you hear me say this, you've heard your mother say this, you've heard other people say this. You got to get healthy, got to take care of yourself. It's going to get to the point where you either are healthy as you can be, or you're going to be put into a mandatory quarantine camp. The powers that be are going to find one way or another, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to give them any reasons. You need to make sure you're as healthy as possible. Go to survivalenterprises.com. Look in the health area. Everything that we sell, and we don't sell a lot, everything that we sell has been proven to build your immune system up. You need to build your immune system up. I'm beating a drum here, and possibly a dead horse. But I really want everyone to understand, we care about you. You're allies to us. Every man has a right to two things, his own defense and his own health. You need to take care of yourself. Stop drinking crap. Stop eating crap. Stop rubbing crap into your belly. Stop smoking. You listen to this lecture today, you're going to understand everything I'm telling you, and you're going to understand that the corporate government, the American Morons Medical Association, the AMA, the FDA, the whole medical community in the United States is nothing more than pharmaceutical band-aids. They will cure nothing. That's not their job. Their job is to dose you with drugs, as the doctor is going to explain in the lecture. They actually think that you have a lack of drugs in your system, so they're going to build your system up with drugs. I mean, this is as psychotic as hell. Okay, my kid has a hard time reading. He must have a lack of Prozac. So we're going to pump him full of Prozac or Ritalin because he must have a lack of it in his system, and that's what they're going to do. I don't understand this crap. Like Grandpa used to say, stupid is its own reward. If you're sitting around wondering why you're sick, wondering why, even though you're going to the doctor and he's pumping you full of this, that, and the other thing, and nothing's getting better, and you haven't put two and two together, you listen to this lecture, and then you sit down, and you have an honest talk with yourself, and you put two and two together. You're going to find out the same thing I did a few years ago, well, many years ago. Everything the government-sponsored medical community does is to perpetrate them, is to keep them going, to make money. I mean, you know, some of the more cynical say it's just for the money. It's just for the money. It's not just for the money. It's to set you up as a permanent victim so that you and your children and your children's children will always need this corporate government and its representatives so that you can survive. At least that's the thought pattern they want you to have in your mind. I've met people like that. My uncle was like that. He ended up with prostate cancer. And I told him, I said, Uncle Ray, what they want to do to you will kill you. There's other things out there. He said, no, I'm going to have them cut out some of it and pump me full of radioactive chemicals. And they say that's going to extend my life about a year. Guy's name is David Brownstein. He was a real, quote-unquote, medical doc until he realized everything he was doing wasn't helping the people. He had an epiphany. He said, this is ridiculous. I'm going to quit being a doctor. Now, in the full-length recording, he explains all this. I didn't want you guys all to have to listen to that, though. But I am going to post the link to it. Somebody gave him a book, one of a million of them out there, on health, and he read it, and it changed his whole life. When you add his willingness to take a different viewpoint and his research and technical ability, add that all together, you got somebody who is intelligent and who is willing to help people, and that's where this guy comes in.
At that point, I focused on the section of cardiovascular disease, which is what my father was suffering from. And my father had his first heart attack at 40, second heart attack shortly thereafter. He had a couple of bypass surgeries and a couple of angioplasties. My father was on a whole host of medications and not doing very well at that time at all. In fact, I thought he was dying. He never took care of himself. He smoked. He was overweight. But he was seeing some of the best doctors, and he was taking the medications that I was taught were the appropriate medications for his illness, and he wasn't doing very well at all. But when I read that book by Dr. Jonathan Wright, who is a holistic physician out of the University of Michigan, he said that heart disease was not a drug deficiency syndrome problem. He thought heart disease was a nutritional problem and a hormonal imbalance problem. And when I tried a couple of natural therapies on my father, a 25-year history of angina melted away within 7 days. His cholesterol, which was stuck in the 300s on cholesterol-lowering medications, went down below 200 without changing his diet or his exercise habits. He looked and acted much better. And once I saw the changes in my father, that's what I knew I wanted to do in medicine. That's when I started really researching and looking at holistic things, which brings us to iodine. One of the first things that I treated my dad with was thyroid hormone. He had normal thyroid blood tests, but he had every sign and symptom to meet the diagnosis of hypothyroidism, including a diagnosis of atherosclerosis and hypercholesterol, which is really associated with hypothyroidism. When I treated my dad with a small amount of natural thyroid hormone is when he made his vast improvement. Well, I started to research thyroid problems. For the next 15 years, including now, I am still researching and studying thyroid problems in my patients. And I wrote a book called Overcoming Thyroid Disorders, where I describe how the commonly used blood tests are not accurately picking up the majority of people walking around with thyroid problems. One of the things that's associated with thyroid problems is iodine. I knew that from my readings that iodine has been a very controversial subject. In medical school, I was taught that there is no such thing as iodine deficiency in the present time. We get enough iodine from salt. And if you use iodine, you're going to cause problems in people. You're going to precipitate thyroid problems. And we were always taught about the dangers of iodine in medical school. It was never even mentioned that there was iodine deficiency going on. Well, in my research about thyroid problems, I realized that where I live in the Midwest, we live in the goiter belt, where our soil is known to be one of the most iodine deficient areas of the world. I figured that most of my patients were iodine deficient. Well, 15 years ago, there wasn't a great test to test for that. I would try various iodine preparations on my patients. I never saw any negative results from using those iodine preparations, but I wasn't seeing the positive results. And I didn't have a test to confirm what I thought was true. Approximately 7 years ago, I read a letter to the editor in one of my holistic journals where a doctor talked about how he had developed a test to measure for iodine sufficiency of the body. And in his measurements, he found a large majority of people deficient in iodine and toxic with some chemicals that block iodine in the body, which we'll talk about. Well, I called that doctor after reading that article. He became interested in my practice. His name is Dr. Guy Abraham. We started collaborating, doing research. He was doing some pretty sophisticated testing for iodine. And when I sent him the first 50 samples, 96% of people tested markedly low for iodine. I knew that I was finally seeing what I thought was there on the benefits of iodine, and while we all need to seriously look at iodine levels for the vast majority of people in our country. So Galileo said, all truths are easy to understand once they are discovered. The point is to discover them. Well, Galileo had the audacity to tell the church in the 16th century that the sun was revolving around the earth and not the other way around. From his statement, they put him in jail and locked him up and told everybody that he was crazy. Well, we all know Galileo was correct. Truth is easy to understand once they are discovered, and I think that we have discovered the importance of iodine and why the vast majority of people could improve their health if they ensured their bodies had adequate amounts of iodine. I'm not talking any alternative medicine. I'm not talking any alternative physiology. I'm talking biochemistry here. Biochemistry, physiology is what it is in the body, and this is the pathway we're going to focus on, the thyroid production pathway. The thyroid gland sits in the lower part of our neck. It weighs about 1.5 ounces. It produces a teaspoon of thyroid hormone for a whole year. That teaspoon of thyroid hormone has to drive the metabolic rate of every cell in the body 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can almost visualize it like a little machine running in each of the cells of the body. When that machine is running adequately, we produce enough heat and we feel warm on cold days. We have the right body temperature. When the machine is running adequately, we have enough energy to do whatever we want to do and we feel good. When the machine is under functioning, we don't have enough thyroid hormone being produced. That machine slows down and there's not enough heat being produced. People are cold, may have cold hands and cold feet, and they're tired and achy and constipated and hair loss and weight gain, and a whole host of symptoms develop. And a whole host of conditions are associated with that, such as hypothyroidism, autoimmune thyroid disorders, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, cancer, adrenal problems, and a whole host of other things. But this is the pathway we're going to try and optimize today, and I'll tell you, you cannot optimize this pathway if you don't have adequate amounts of iodine in the body. What can happen to that pathway? Well, there can be a T4 to T3 conversion block where you don't convert the inactive thyroid hormone T4 to the active thyroid hormone T3. The end result is thyroid and endocrine problems and those illnesses that I just mentioned. Well, that can occur from nutrient deficiencies, such as iodine deficiency, iron deficiency, selenium, zinc, vitamins like vitamin A, B2, B6, B12. Medications can block that conversion, beta blockers, birth control pills, synthetic estrogens, iodinated contrast agents, lithium, Dilantin, which is a seizure drug, SSRIs or antidepressant medications will block that conversion down, theophylline, which is a asthma medication, the aging process slows that conversion down, alcohol in large amounts will slow that down, alpha-lipoic acid in some people will slow that conversion down. It's not a very common reaction. Chemotherapy will block that conversion. Cigarette smoke will inhibit thyroid function. Cigarette smoke does that, by the way, by inhibiting or worsening iodine deficiency in the body. Cruciferous vegetables will block that conversion down. Diabetics have a slow conversion. The fasting state will lower the conversion down. Fluoride poisons the iodine transport molecules in the body and disrupts iodine function in the body. Growth hormone deficiency, hemochromatosis, which is elevated iron levels, elevated lead levels, all block that conversion down. The low adrenal state will slow that thyroid conversion down. Mercury can poison the enzyme that converts T4 to T3. Pesticides block the conversion. Soy, the non-fermented soy, which we use in this country, will block that conversion down, such as soy milk, soy dog, soy cheese. Stress itself will block that conversion down, as well as surgery and radiation. All these things can inhibit T4 to T3 conversion, but what we're going to focus on is iodine. So there's a term called medical iodophobia, and medical iodophobia is the unwarranted fear of using and recommending inorganic, non-radioactive iodine and iodide within the range known from the collective experience of three generations of clinicians to be the safest and most effective amounts for treating symptoms and signs of iodine and iodide deficiency from 12 to 50 milligrams per day. That's the illness that abounds in our country. It abounds in conventional medicine. It abounds in holistic medicine. It abounds in patients. The media has put a big fear on us about iodine, basically medical iodophobia. I say iodine is the most misunderstood nutrient, and once you learn about iodine, we will cure this illness, medical iodophobia, and you can achieve your optimal health once you ensure that you have adequate iodine intake. Edgar Cayce said, there are only four elements in the body, water, salt, soda, and iodine. If we have adequate amounts of these four elements in balance, the body is fully capable of creating all the other elements of the universe. Now, I would tell you that Edgar Cayce's comment, which was made about 70 years ago, he's a sleeping prophet who was known to predict certain things. I believe his comments here were exactly true. Water, salt, soda, and iodine form the basis of our body, the raw materials that we need to produce everything else and to function as healthy individuals. So this was an ultrasound from a patient of mine. You can see in the data on here, 5-18-04, where the radiologist concluded that he describes the different nodules in here, and he describes one that's over 1 centimeter in size. And when the nodule's over 1 centimeter in size, I send them for a fine needle aspiration to make sure that it's not cancerous. This patient was also found to be low in iodine, and I placed her on 75 milligrams of iodine and iodide combination. And this study was done in 5-18. The recheck on 11-29-04, because she didn't want the fine needle aspiration, she wanted to go on the iodine. So 6 months later, we did another ultrasound after taking the iodine, and you can see in the impression here, previously described nodules not identified in the current exam. Now, I practiced holistic medicine for about 7 or 8 years before using iodine, and I found many of my patients who had thyroid and other endocrine disorders much better when I corrected those endocrine disorders with using thyroid hormone and other hormones and other vitamins and minerals in the body. But I never saw nodules and fibrosis improve. And that included nodules and fibrosis on the thyroid, the ovaries, the uterus, the breast, and the prostate in men. Their health would improve, but they would still have these same nodules and cysts and fibrosis. It wasn't until I started using iodine that I saw, like in this patient, the nodules disappear. What happens when you're iodine deficient is that you get cysts, nodules, fibrosis, and eventually you can get cancer. That occurs in the thyroid gland, in the breast, in the uterus, in the prostate, and all the hormone glands of the body. And the only thing that can correct this is iodine. So I've seen some of the most amazing results with iodine. Again, I'll take you through that today. At least as a physician and being able to order tests and seeing the results on the test, I never saw changes like this until I started using iodine. So I was taught in medical school that iodine will cause these problems, and I'm telling you iodine can treat. Well, this was a study that concluded that both benign and malignant thyroid nodules have significantly less iodine as compared to normal tissue. In fact, benign nodules in this study were shown to contain 56% of the iodine content as compared to normal thyroid tissue. But the most important part of the study was malignant thyroid nodules, or cancerous thyroid nodules, contain 3% of the iodine content as compared to normal thyroid tissue. Now, if what I was taught in medical school is true, this study would not come up with these numbers. It would be reversed, where you would see the malignant nodules containing more iodine. Well, that's not the case. Malignant nodules contain only 3% of the iodine content. Cancer of the thyroid, cancer of the breast, the prostate, the uterus, the ovaries, and just generally associated problems with those glands are associated with iodine deficiency and can only be treated when you rectify an iodine deficiency problem. To the periodic table, we're going to focus over here on the right, and it's called the halides, fluoride, chloride, bromide, and iodine. All these halides are a member of one family. They're very similar in size and shape, and if you take too much of one of those halides, you can kick out another halide. It's called competitive inhibition. So, for example, if you take too much bromide, you can have your body release iodine. If you take too much fluoride, your body can release iodine. Conversely, if you take enough iodine, your body will get rid of bromide and fluoride. Now, we don't want bromide and fluoride in our bodies at high amounts. In fact, we don't want them in our body even at low amounts. The problem we're exposed to in our environment is too much fluoride, too much bromide, not enough iodine. So the history of iodine. It was first discovered in 1811. It's known as the birth of Western medicine. Boussingault in 1824 observed that goiter did not occur in many silver mining sites. What he found was the miners who showed up to work in the mining site that had a goiter or swollen thyroid. The number one cause of goiter or swollen thyroid is iodine deficiency. When these miners showed up to work there that had this goiter or swollen thyroid, their goiter went away. He ascertained that it was the iodine in the silver mining sites that was causing this goiter to go away. He wrote about it in an article. So the use of iodine for treating goiter was the first time that a single item iodine was used to treat a specific illness, goiter. It's the birth of Western medicine because that's how Western medicine is practiced today. I was taught in medical school how to diagnose and how to prescribe the one drug to treat that pathology. I was never taught about health and how to maintain it. I say you can't achieve your optimal health without ensuring adequate iodine intake. The RDA is 150 micrograms for the adult male and female, a little bit more for pregnancy and lactation. I'm not sure what the RDA stands for. Rats, drugs, and assumptions can be one. Really dumb advice can be another idea. But the RDA, I will show you, is enough to prevent goiter or swelling of the thyroid gland, but it's not enough to provide for normal thyroid function. It's not enough to provide for the rest of the body's iodine needs. And there are consequences to not providing enough iodine for the whole body. Every 10 years, the government, our government does a National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. And what they look for are common minerals and vitamins and toxicity items over about 8,000 to 10,000 people across the U.S. They extrapolate those numbers out nationally, and it gives them an idea of what's happening in our country nutritionally. Well, from 1970 to 2000, as can be shown on this graph, 1970s in gray, 2000s in orange, the iodine levels have fallen 50% in the United States. There's two things to consider with iodine levels falling 50% over the last 30 years. Why has that happened and what are the consequences of that? And I'll show you why it's happened. I mentioned that iodine levels have fallen 50% in the United States over the last 30 years. During the same time, there's an increased incidence of thyroid illnesses, including hypothyroidism, autoimmune thyroid disorder, as well as thyroid cancer. And remember, I was taught in medical school. Students are still taught today in medical school. If you give people iodine, you're going to cause hypothyroidism, autoimmune thyroid disease, and thyroid cancer. If they have these illnesses, you're going to make them worse. Well, as iodine levels have fallen 50% over the last 30 years, we've seen these illnesses all increase, not decrease. In addition, cancer of the breast, prostate, endometrium, and ovaries are all elevated over the last 30 years as iodine levels have fallen. And I say all of those above conditions can be caused by iodine deficiency. The proportion of the U.S. population with moderate to severe iodine deficiency, according to the World Health Organization, which is less than 50 micrograms per liter on urinary testing, has increased over 400% in the last 20 years. That means 2.6% of our population in 1970 had severe iodine deficiency, 11.7% in 1990. It's near 20% now. So why look at iodine? Its deficiency is a worldwide problem. Its deficiency results in mental impairment, reduced intellectual ability, and ADD. Its deficiency results in goiter or swelling of the thyroid. It's been associated with infertility, as well as an increased risk of cancer of the breast, prostate, and endometrium, ovary, as well as other cancers. The World Health Organization claims iodine deficiency is the world's greatest single cause of preventable mental retardation. One-third of the world's population lives in an iodine-deficient area. It encompasses 129 countries. There's decreased childhood survival rate in iodine-deficient areas, and neonatal mortality declines over 50% when iodine deficiency is rectified. Presently, 72% of the world's population is affected by iodine deficiency. It's occurring in our country at approximately those numbers. This is a study 3 years ago from the Thyroid Journal, 100 consecutive healthy pregnant Bostonians. 50% were found to be below the rats, drugs, and assumption dose of iodine of 220 micrograms per day. 9% were found to be below 50 micrograms per day, which is what the World Health Organization recognizes as severe iodine deficiency. So you should be asking yourself, yourself, well, what are the consequences of all these people being low in iodine? This is a study from Italy. 16 women from an iodine-deficient area compared to 7 women from a higher iodine area, and they were looked at while they were pregnant. The women from the iodine-deficient area had reduced T4, a decrease of free T4, which is the active thyroid hormone, with elevated TSH in 50% of pregnant women, which is going to lead to thyroid problems in all these babies that they're going to have. And the authors hypothesized that the imbalance of maternal thyroid hormone homeostasis during pregnancy as a consequence of endemic iodine deficiency may be responsible for the impaired psychoneurological development observed in children from that area. Appropriate iodine and or thyroxine prophylaxis to women in that region may prevent the neurobehavioral, cognitive, and motor compromise of that population. We have something crazy like nearly 20% of public school age boys on some psychoactive medication, including Ritalin and antidepressants. When these children don't have a medication deficiency syndrome going on, they have imbalances in their nutrition. And when we correct these imbalances in the nutrition, their behavioral problems go away. So I think iodine deficiency is responsible for this rising epidemic of ADD that we're seeing in our young people. Again, these people don't need to be medicated with toxic medications. They need to have their nutritional deficiencies corrected. 16 women living in an iodine deficient area versus 11 women living in an iodine deficient area. 10 years of follow-up. ADHD was diagnosed in 11 of 16 in the iodine deficient area versus 0 of 11 in the iodine deficient area. However, the numbers get worse when we find out that the IQ was lower in the iodine deficient area, 88 versus an IQ of 99 in an iodine deficient area. Now, I went to the University of Michigan for undergrad. I can guarantee you an IQ of 88 is not going to get you in there. Cholesterol and iodine. In 1918, researchers demonstrated that feeding iodine to rabbits could prevent the deposition of cholesterol in the arteries of rabbits that were fed cholesterol. These same studies were reproduced and similar results reported in the literature 4 times. The initial hypothesis that high cholesterol caused heart disease was done by feeding cholesterol to rabbits. Now, rabbits don't normally eat cholesterol. This was kind of a silly study to do in the first place. But what this study in 1918 reported was that if these rabbits were fed cholesterol and they were given iodine, you could prevent the deposition of atherosclerosis. Well, if this study would have made the headlines, we wouldn't have all this craziness about statin deficiency syndromes going on, which don't exist. And when we correct the underlying cause of atherosclerosis, which many times is thyroid and iodine deficiency, these illnesses get better, just as I saw in my father. So what's an underlying mechanism of coronary artery disease? Researchers looked at the development of atherosclerosis in rabbits. They looked at control group. Rabbits fed a high cholesterol diet, a treatment group. In this study, rabbits fed a high cholesterol diet and treated with either T4, thyroid hormone. They either got desiccated thyroid, which is armor thyroid, or they got iodine. The control rabbits fed cholesterol developed marked aortic atherosclerosis. The rabbits fed cholesterol-rich diet and levothyroid or synthroid, or T4, showed slight to moderate aortic atherosclerosis. However, the rabbits fed a cholesterol-rich diet and either desiccated thyroid or iodine showed an absence of atherosclerotic lesions. Now, this study shows that iodine has an independent positive benefit in a cholesterol-rich diet as well as a synergistic effect with desiccated thyroid hormone. If you have elevated cholesterol and you have heart disease, look for an underlying cause of these illnesses. They're not caused from statin deficiency problems. They're caused from nutritional imbalances, which many times is iodine. Another study, rats. Iodine-deficient diet versus an iodine-sufficient diet. The iodine-sufficient diet resulted in a much lower thyroid weight, 43.4 versus 10.3 milligrams. So the rats given iodine had fourfold less thyroid size. They didn't get gorder, was what the study's saying when they were given iodine. When the rats were fed a high cholesterol diet, the thyroid weight significantly increased in both groups. The important part is this last line of this study. The high cholesterol diet was also found to increase the body's excretion of iodine. We live in a wealthy country. We eat a lot of cholesterol in our diet. All wealthy countries do. If your iodine deficient, this high cholesterol diet can exacerbate an iodine deficiency problem if you have it. It's crucially important, even more so in our country, that we ensure adequate iodine levels for the type of diet we're eating. And I see positive results with my patients when they do that. How about iodine and cholesterol levels? 136 subjects, they looked at iodine intake and lipid parameters. Compared to iodine-sufficient, non-goitrous controls, iodine-deficient, goitrous or swelling of the thyroid subjects had significantly higher cholesterol levels and higher LDL cholesterol levels. Now, the media is harping on us, and the mainstream medicine people are harping on us that we need to treat these elevated LDL levels. I can tell you these people do not have statin deficiency syndromes. They have iodine deficiency in the majority of them. And when you correct this iodine deficiency problem, the cholesterol levels normalize. Amplicase, in 1958, published data that the countries with the highest cholesterol levels had the highest rate of cardiovascular disease. He was on the cover of Time magazine. He was hailed as a great physician. The cholesterol equals heart disease hypothesis even accelerated more. However, if we looked at the time that he wrote the study, Finland had the highest rate of cardiovascular disease mortality in Europe. It was more prevalent in eastern Finland than western Finland. People should have been asking why at that point, and they really weren't. They were just taking Keyes' work at what he said. But I describe in my book, Drugs That Don't Work, why Keyes was wrong in his analysis of that study. But let's look at eastern and western Finland to look for the difference of why one had higher cardiovascular disease and why one side didn't. Researchers looked at a variety of dietary components, proteins, fats, carbohydrates, lipids, amino acids, vitamins, and minerals. 47 different items were studied. Only iodine intake showed the greatest statistical difference between eastern and western Finland. The risk of death from coronary artery disease was 353% higher in individuals with goiter, and there was also significantly lower death age in those with goiter or swollen thyroid. The number one cause of goiter is low iodine. Let's move to 1970 for Finland and cardiovascular disease. Researchers now looked at the prevalence of cardiovascular disease in 21 Finnish cities as it related to trace elements in the drinking water, calcium, chlorine, fluorine, bromine, and iodine. And the outcomes were angina, coronary thrombosis or heart attack, hypertensive diseases, and atherosclerosis. And you guessed it, the strongest correlation was iodine, the highest intake of iodine associated with the lowest rates of cardiovascular disease. Now, in our country, when a nutritional item is found to be beneficial, it generally takes about 100 years for it to become mainstream. The Finns are a little bit faster than we are. They increased iodine intake in its population due to that study. They added more to animal feed, and they added more to animal salt. What they found was, in the past several decades, cardiovascular mortality has decreased by over 50%, and life expectancy has increased by 5 years. Finland currently has the highest iodine intake of any European country. We know high cholesterol diets can exacerbate iodine deficiency from this study. Rats were given an iodine-deficient diet versus an iodine sufficient diet. The iodine-sufficient diet resulted in a much lower thyroid weight. It was one quarter lower. Sunscreen, iodine, and thyroid function. Animal studies. Another animal study with rats. They were treated with 4-MBC and benzophenone 2, which are commonly found in most sunscreens out there. From treating these rats with sunscreen, the weights of the thyroid gland increased, and all the above results were prevented if there was adequate iodine present. The researchers concluded that their work has shown that MBC and BP2 are potent disruptors of the pituitary thyroid hormonal system in rats. If the same effect is discovered in humans, then we may have to rethink how we protect our children and those with existing thyroid problems or those in iodine deficient areas from sun exposure. We are making a whole population vitamin D deficient with our fear of the sun and putting sunscreen on everybody. I saw a dermatologist as a patient a couple of weeks ago. After I finished the visit with her, I said to her, does the sun cause cancer? And she said, well, absolutely it does. And I said, well, does it cause melanoma? And she hesitated a little bit and said, probably not. And I said, does sunscreen prevent cancer? And she says, absolutely it does. I said, well, sunscreen prevents cancer. Where was all the cancer when we were kids? And she was about my age. And I said, what did your mother put on you when you went outside in the sun? And she thought for a minute. She goes, I don't remember. She didn't put sunscreen on me. Well, she didn't put sunscreen on her because sunscreen wasn't developed then. I remember my mother putting coconut oil on me when I went out in the sun. And I was out in the sun from after breakfast till dinner time because I didn't have 150 TV channels to watch and I didn't have a computer to play with. We were out in the sun all day. And where was the incidence of skin cancer when we were kids? I say that the skin cancer incidence has increased because everyone's vitamin D deficient from using sunscreen, and the topical application of sunscreen coupled with sun exposure is causing problems in the skin. I say check your vitamin D levels. There's a synergistic effect with vitamin D supplementation and iodine, and you can prevent skin cancer, and don't be so fearful of the sun. Only 35% of prescription prenatal vitamins contain iodine. Of the prenatal vitamins that do contain iodine, only 15% have more than 150 micrograms per daily dose. I say it's a public health disaster that's unparalleled. Why iodine? It elevates the pH. It's an alkalinizing agent. People with chronic illnesses are often very acidic with their pH. pH is too low. It's often very difficult to get their pH up. And the pH is very important because vitamins and minerals and hormones and the immune system does not function well when that pH is not properly balanced within a tight range. There's two main things that can elevate pH in the body, I found in my medical career. Iodine and salt, unrefined salt. Iodine deficiency causes intellectual deficiency, goiter, hypothyroidism, autoimmune thyroid illness, thyroid cancer, and other cancers. It's necessary for the production of thyroid hormones, including all the thyroid hormones. And in fact, it's necessary for the production of all the hormones of the body, the adrenals, the ovaries, the testicles. No hormone can be produced without adequate iodine levels in the body. And if you have inadequate iodine levels, you can have inadequate hormone production and inadequate glandular production. Iodine is also responsible for the formation of the normal architecture of the glandular tissue, the breast, thyroid, the ovary, probably the prostate, even though the studies haven't really been done for that, but all the glandular tissue of the body requires iodine. Iodine is a trace element found in small amounts in the human body. It's usually found in seawater and sea organisms. seaweed can contain large amounts of iodine. The soil near the ocean can contain large amounts of iodine. Therefore, plants grown in that soil will have large amounts of iodine as compared to plants grown on iodine-deficient soil. And iodine could also combine with salt, and we get iodized salts from that. So the therapeutic actions of this one most misunderstood nutrient. It's the best alkalinizing agent I've seen. It's the best antibacterial agent. There's never been a bacteria that's shown to be resistant to iodine. It's an anti-cancer. Iodine can turn off the cancer-producing cells of the breasts and the prostate and the thyroid. It's an anti-parasitic agent. No parasite's been shown to be resistant to iodine. It's an antiviral agent. No virus has shown to be resistant to iodine. And it's a mucolytic agent. It helps thin out mucus. Not bad for one single substance. So what are the conditions treated with iodine? These are some of the conditions that we've treated in our office with iodine. Includes ADD, atherosclerosis, all breast diseases, cancers of the breast, ovaries, prostate, and thyroid, all need and require adequate amounts of iodine to properly treat them. Diabetics have notoriously low iodine levels. The insulin receptors are all iodinated in the body. They don't work as well if there's not enough iodine. Supertrans contracture responds very nicely to topical iodine. Excess mucus production from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or chronic bronchitis responds well to iodine. Hemorrhoids can respond well to topical iodine. Headache patients improve markedly when you give them adequate iodine. Hypertension is very difficult to treat. I found many of my hypertensive patients improve their elevated blood pressure when they get their iodine levels up to snuff. Infections, as I mentioned before, respond well to iodine. Keloids, liver diseases. We've treated people with hepatitis and other viral illnesses of the liver with iodine and seen these viral illnesses go away. Ovarian cysts, parotid duct stones, Peyronie's, sebaceous cysts, and all the thyroid disorders, hypothyroidism, autoimmune, as well as thyroid cancer improve with iodine. I think iodine deficiency is an underlying cause, if not the underlying cause. So, iodine is not very soluble in water. Dr. Lugol in 1829 found that when potassium iodide was added to water, it markedly increased the solubility of iodine. He came up with Lugol solution, which is iodine and potassium iodide in distilled water. Two drops of Lugol's contains approximately 12.5 milligrams of a combination of iodine and iodide. It was used well through the 1800s and early 1900s before patent medicine took hold. It was the most used medication. It was widely available in most apothecaries. It was recommended for almost any condition, including infection. It was probably the most used medical item before patent medicine took hold. SSKI is a prescription form of iodine that's available to most doctors. One drop is 50 milligrams of iodide. This is what I was using in my practice before I learned about the correct forms of iodine and iodide. And I wasn't seeing negative results with this. I just wasn't seeing positive results with this. I do not think this is the best iodine product to use on the market. So we're back to the RDA, the rat directed assumption dosage for iodine, 150 micrograms for men and women, a little bit more for pregnancy and lactation. Iodine is a rare element, 62nd in abundance in the elements of the earth. It's in the bottom third of elements in terms of abundance. The reduced form of iodine is known as iodide. It has an extra electron, and which gives the whole molecule a full complement of electrons. The oxidized form is iodine. It's lacking an extra electron in its outer shell. I was taught in medical school that iodide and iodine could change places in the gut very easily. So if the body needed iodine, it would make iodine from iodide and vice versa. Well, I can tell you clinically that's not true. To get the best results, you need to use iodine and iodide. And this is what I was not taught in medical school was that different tissue bind different kinds of iodine. Iodine, the oxidized form, binds to breast, prostate, and stomach tissue, while iodide, the reduced form, binds to the thyroid gland, salivary glands, and the skin. Now, we don't know where the rest of the body binds iodine or iodide because studies haven't been done, but I can tell you clinically, if you're going to use iodine for anything in the body, use a combination of iodine and iodide, you'll get a better systemic effect than using one form alone. Every cell in the body contains and utilizes iodine. The white blood cells cannot effectively guard against infection without adequate amounts of iodine. It's concentrated in the glandular system. The thyroid gland contains the largest amount of iodine at saturation, 50 milligrams. However, the breasts, salivary glands, parotid glands, all those other tissues that I mentioned also contain significant amounts of iodine. So there's approximately 1.5 to 2 grams stored in the body at sufficiency. Fat tissue, about 700 milligrams. Striated or the muscle tissue, 650 milligrams. And for comparison, the thyroid, 50 milligrams. Every organ, all tissues contain iodine. The first U.S. iodine studies were done by David Marine. As the country was moving east to west and expanding the population, there was a problem developing. The animals were not procreating correctly as they moved west. They were not growing to the normal size, and there was a worry that the population was going to outstrip the food source. So David Marine, who was an animal specialist, came in. He knew about the studies from Boussingault 100 years previously. And what he found on autopsy was that the animals who were not growing to their normal size and not procreating had swollen thyroids. So he thought that perhaps These animals were iodine deficient. He put iodine in their feed and miraculously found that their thyroids now became normal, that they began procreating correctly and growing to a normal adult size. He wrote about it from his animal research. He estimated the amount of iodine necessary to treat humans. He oversaw the first study in Akron, Ohio. Now, in Akron, Ohio, 56% of school-age girls had goiter, and there was a higher incidence of puberty. Why was there a higher incidence of puberty? Well, there's a higher incidence of puberty because the first tissue that starts to grow in a girl at puberty hits her breast. Breasts have the second highest iodine concentration in the body next to the thyroid gland, and therefore, girls' iodine requirements go up tremendously at puberty. There was a 600% increase in goiter in girls versus boys at puberty in Akron, Ohio in 1924 when the study was done. What he looked at was a control group of 2,305 students, no iodine given, a treatment group, 2,190 students, 9 milligrams of iodine given average daily for 2.5 years. Now, this 9 milligrams of iodine was nearly 100 times the RDA dose for iodine. It's actually more than that since these were children that he was treating. What did he report of side effects for this 9 milligram a day iodine dose? Side effects he reported were zero. So the control group had 495 cases of goiter out of 2,305. However, the treatment group, 5 cases of goiter out of 2,190. From his study, they decided to introduce iodine salt to the Great Lakes area. He repeated the same study in Michigan, found the same results. By 1928, goiter decreased 75% for Michigan and Ohio. The United States quickly added iodine to salt for the rest of the country, and that might have been the end of the iodine story. The whole country was suffering from goiter at the turn of the century. So how do you ingest iodine? Well, it's not common in most foods. It's a trace element. It can be found in ocean foods, cod, sea bass, haddock, and perch. Sea vegetables such as seaweed can contain iodine. And it can be found in animal food products if iodine is added to the animal feed or the food source, such as salt, iodized salt. 1831, Boussingault proposed iodized salt to prevent goiter. It took the U.S. 100 years, mid-1920s, before the iodization of salt was implemented to prevent goiter. So I guess you could say 100 years from now, conventional medicine will be taking at face value what we're talking about today. But you don't have to wait 100 years. You can do it now. Potassium iodide, 74 micrograms of iodine per gram of salt. It's a cost-effective way to prevent goiter. If your goal is to prevent goiter, iodized salt does it. Does a good job. However, I say it's inadequate to provide for the body's need for iodine, and it's inadequate to provide for optimal functioning of a thyroid gland. And I'll tell you why salt doesn't work, because it's not bioavailable. It's not, you can't get the iodine out of salt. This was a study from Pittman in 1969. Two groups were studied. Group 1 had iodized salt, group 2 had iodized bread. 750 micrograms per day of iodine was expected in both groups from how much iodized salt and iodized bread they were eating. So from 750 micrograms of iodine per day, you would expect, if you drew your blood at steady state, 17.2 micrograms per liter. Bread group pretty much met the expected result. Only 10% of the iodine in salt is bioavailable. I wasn't taught that in medical school. Now, why is that? Is that because of competitive inhibition of chloride in salt? I don't think so. Chloride is a vital substance necessary for our bodies. We have tons of chloride in our body that is needed. But it's probably from other items in salt. Salt is such a misunderstood nutrient. We need unrefined salt in our diet, not toxic refined salt. And unrefined salt can produce wonderful effects in the body, and it works right in conjunction with substituting for iodine. I say if you're not taking an unrefined salt in your diet, that you are salt deficient. So let's come back to the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. Iodine levels have fallen 50% over the last 30 years. What has happened over the last 30 years? Increases in thyroid illnesses, cancer of the breast, prostate, endometrium, ovaries, all elevated. All those conditions can be caused by iodine deficiency. First 250 patients I tested, once I found the right test for iodine, 94.7 had low, significantly low iodine levels. We've now tested over 4,000 patients in our office between me and my partners. 96.3% have tested low via urine and or serum testing. Most of these patients test for iodine as non-detectable by the lab. It's so low the lab can't pick it up. What are the consequences of this? All the chronic illnesses that we're seeing out there today. So why is the soil deficient in iodine? Well, it's deficient in more inland and mountainous areas, such as the Midwestern United States and the Great Lakes Basin, includes Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin. Soil erosion from glaciers, deforestation, and poor farming techniques can also deplete iodine levels in the soil. And pollution, pesticides and insecticides contain bromide, fluoride, and chlorine, which are all competitive inhibitors of iodine. It's a national, it's a worldwide problem. The iodine content in various foods is not much in most foods. Iodine levels have fallen 50% in the United States over the last 30 years. By now, you got to be asking your question, why has this happened and what are the consequences of it? So why are people deficient in iodine? They don't use salt. We're trained by the media and by conventional physicians that using salt causes high blood pressure. Presently, less than 50% of U.S. households use iodized salt. Well, I agree that iodized salt is a toxic, devitalized substance that needs to be avoided. But I also would tell you, you're going to avoid iodized salts, you need to get unrefined salt in your diet. And unrefined salt is a very important substance that can't be neglected. Radioactive iodine use in medicine can exacerbate an iodine deficient state, and chemical exposure to goitrogens. Goitrogens are substances that cause goiter in the thyroid. Bromine, chlorine, fluoride, all can cause problems with the thyroid. Drugs contain fluoride and bromide. They decrease iodine uptake into the thyroid and competitively inhibit iodine binding. And declining mineral levels in general from soil erosion, poor farming techniques are, you know, worsening an iodine deficiency problem. The biggest reason is diet. And what are the dietary reasons for iodine deficiency? Well, if you don't eat ocean fish or sea vegetables, inadequate use of iodized salt, including low-sodium diet, vegan and vegetarian diets, bromine in food and drinks, such as brominated vegetable oils, it's in some Gatorade products, Mountain Dew and other soft drinks, and bakery products. This is the main reason. Bread, pasta, cereal presently contain bromine. What happened to bakery products? In the 1960s, iodine was added to bakery products as an anti-caking agent. One slice of bread contained the RDA for iodine, about 150 micrograms. In the 1970s, bromine was substituted for iodine due to misinformation about iodine. It's very unclear why this took place. I've searched on the internet for hours upon hours and haven't been able to find a reason for it. If you find a reason, please let me know. So they took out iodine in bread products in the early 1970s, and they put bromine in bread products. Well, it creates a double whammy in our bodies. It worsened an iodine deficiency problem already present in the United States, and it competitively inhibited iodine in the body by adding the goitrogen bromine to bakery products. I say that's the most asinine act amongst many in the history of the food industry. Bromine's a toxic substance with no known value in the body. It's in the family of halides, iodine, fluoride, chlorine. All those halides compete with one another for absorption and receptor binding. And bromine interferes with iodine utilization in the thyroid as well as other areas of the body. It's a known goitrogen. It's known to bind to breast tissue, prostate tissue, ovarian tissue, uterine tissue, exactly where iodine binds to. Animal studies show that bromine intake can adversely affect the accumulation of iodine in the thyroid and the skin, and high bromine intake can result in iodine being eliminated from the thyroid gland and replaced by bromine. And the ingestion of bromine has been shown to cause hypothyroidism in animals. With its iodine deficiency present, the toxicity of bromine is elevated. So what's bromine found in? It's an antibacterial agent for pools and hot tubs. I say don't use bromine for anything. There are many natural ways you can keep your pools and hot tubs clean without bromine and chlorine. You can use ozone or ions such as silver, or you can use iodine. I have a pool and a hot tub. I don't use bromine or chlorine in either of those areas. I use ozone and ions. Bromine is a fumigant for agriculture. It's sprayed on fruits and vegetables. Crops that it's sprayed on are found to contain high bromide levels. It's a fumigant for termites and other pests. In 1981, 6.3 million pounds of bromide were sprayed in California. By 1991, it's up to 18.7 million pounds. Think about where we get our fruit and vegetables from for the majority of the year. We all get our fruit and vegetables across the country from the lower Colorado River, irrigated from the lower Colorado River in Southern California. Their whole area is contaminated with bromine and perchlorate, which is another chemical. Pesticides contain organic bromine. The amount of bromine in human breast milk has increased tenfold over the last decade. A baby's only source of iodine who's breastfeeding is the iodine intake from the mother and the iodine in the breast milk. If mom doesn't have enough iodine, which I'm showing you 20% of moms are severely deficient in iodine, well over 50% are deficient in iodine, probably closer to 80%. If they're exposed to too much bromine, which I'm finding almost all my patients have too much bromine in their bodies. All the ones that I tested of probably about 400 or 500 so far have had too much bromine. These babies are getting bromine in their milk and not iodine. So how much iodine is stored in the body and the thyroid? About 50 milligrams per day. The breast, a minimum of 5 milligrams per day. That's in a 110-pound woman for maintenance of normal breast tissue. But remember, a woman with larger breasts or a larger woman is going to need more iodine. Men have smaller breasts and a lower iodine requirement. I think this excess iodine requirement is the reason why we're seeing thyroid disorders occur in women about 8 to 10 to 1, including hypothyroidism, autoimmune thyroid disorders, and thyroid cancer. I think it's the reason we're seeing autoimmune disorders, 8 to 10 to 1, women versus men, because they have a higher iodine requirement. All the glands contain iodine. So how do you check iodine levels? You can check blood levels. You can do urinary levels, which is the accepted measure. And you can do an iodine loading test. So how do you dose iodine? I say if you're going to dose it, use a combination of iodine and iodide. You can use Lugol solution, the old-fashioned remedy. One drop contains 6.25 milligrams of iodine and iodide. My experience has found therapeutic doses of iodine vary between 6 to 50 milligrams per day for the majority of people. And if you're sick, you have a chronic illness, cancer, autoimmune disorder, thyroid problems, doses are higher that you need. The RDA for iodine is 150 micrograms per day. It's inadequate to supply the body's need for iodine. The dose must be individualized. And use a combination of iodine and iodide. Lugol's or tablet of Lugol's if you're going to use it. And do appropriate testing pre and post. final thoughts for this intro to iodine is that iodine deficiency is common. If not rectified by the use of iodine salt, I say iodine deficiency may be the underlying cause of autoimmune thyroid disorders, and using a combination of iodine and iodide is much more effective than using iodine alone. However, the best results are achieved with a comprehensive, holistic approach. You can't balance the hormonal system without correcting iodine deficiency. That includes the thyroid and the adrenals. And the whole body iodine deficiency generally requires milligram doses of iodine. Most people up to 50 milligrams if you're sick, more than that. I remember medical school, I was taught that iodine will cause autoimmune thyroid disorders, Hashimoto's and Graves' disease. If you have Hashimoto's and Graves' disease, iodine's going to make it worse. What I was taught in medical school is incorrect. It's iodine deficiency that causes these autoimmune disorders, and it's iodine replacement is the only way to reverse these autoimmune thyroid disorders. Iodine is an essential ingredient in thyroid gland, in thyroid hormones. T4 contains 4 iodine molecules, T3 contains 3. Without sufficient iodine, the thyroid is unable to make thyroid hormones, and the thyroid tissue will become hyperplastic in a state of iodine deficiency. That's a fancy term for meaning cells are going to become precancerous. The first stage of this, the precursor to autoimmune thyroid illness, Hashimoto's and Graves' disease. And autoimmune thyroid illnesses contain Hashimoto's and Graves' disease, plus these other 3 illnesses on here. We're going to primarily focus on Graves and Hashimoto's disease. So are autoimmune thyroid illnesses caused by iodine deficiencies? 2 areas of Denmark were studied due to differences in iodine intake. 4,000 participants, they were adults. The median iodine excretion in Aalborg was 53 micrograms per liter, in Copenhagen, 68 micrograms per liter. I was taught in medical school that iodine causes these problems. You would expect Copenhagen would have more autoimmune thyroid disorders than Aalborg. But you can see the opposite occurring here. Copenhagen has markedly less autoimmune thyroid disorders than Aalborg, which has 2.6-fold higher. So minimal differences in iodine excretion causes big problems with the thyroid. This study blows apart what I was taught in medical school. Plus, my clinical experience doesn't hold true with it either. So are autoimmune thyroid illnesses caused by iodine deficiency? X-ray fluorescent scanning of the thyroid can measure the stable iodine content of the thyroid gland. It used to be done in the 1960s in the U.S., early 1970s, and then they stopped doing it. It's not done anywhere now. But you can measure the stable iodine content of the thyroid gland. It would be a nice, it's reported as the mean value of 10 milligrams of iodine in a thyroid gland in the normal population. Now remember, I told you that at saturation, the iodine holds about 50 milligrams of iodine. They're reporting a population mean is about 10 milligrams. So I would say right off the bat from this study, population is deficient in iodine. You want the thyroid saturated with iodine. If we take 10 milligrams, and if iodine is causing autoimmune thyroid illnesses, you would expect as iodine levels go up in the thyroid, more autoimmune thyroid illnesses, right? But 56 subjects with autoimmune thyroiditis had a mean value of 4.7 milligrams of iodine per thyroid gland, just the opposite. However, it gets worse. 13 subjects with autoimmune thyroiditis and hypothyroidism had a mean value of 2.3 milligrams of iodine per thyroid. I was taught the opposite. You give people iodine, you're going to cause hypothyroidism, you're going to cause autoimmune thyroiditis. This is wives' tales. They're not reading the literature, and they're not following what the articles say. And they're not following physiology and biochemistry by making those statements. If iodine were the cause of autoimmune thyroid disorders, you would expect more iodine in the affected gland. That's not what you're seeing from the study. Graves' disease, an autoimmune thyroid illness, enlarged thyroid gland and thyroid antibodies, these are with the protruding eyes. It's much more common in women. In 1923, Dr. Plummer hypothesized that Graves' disease was due to iodine deficiency. So before surgery, iodine was used to control the high mortality of surgery for Graves' disease. Before Plummer came up with this hypothesis, when they did surgery for swollen thyroids, when they would get so big people couldn't breathe and they'd have to do surgery, what they found was there was a high mortality of people had Graves' disease. And it was what happened with thyroid storm. Thyroid hormone was released from the body and it killed people. Well, Dr. Plummer thought that it was due to iodine deficiency. What did he do? He administered 130 to 195 milligrams of iodine pre-op and 62 milligrams post-op. What did he find? His mortality went from high to zero, with zero side effects. Exactly the opposite of what's being taught in medical school today and what was taught to me in medical school about 15 years ago. Hashimoto's disease, an autoimmune thyroid illness. You get anti-thyroid antibodies and anti-microsomal antibodies. It claims 2% of the population. It's much higher than that. It's 2% of the population because people aren't being checked for it. Much more common in women. And thyroid antibodies are only formed when there's oxidative damage to the thyroid gland. Dr. Hashimoto was a pathologist who described this condition in 1912. He termed it stroma lymphomatosa. What's important is that Hashimoto's disease was not observed in the U.S. when he reported this from Germany in 1912. So why does Hashimoto's form? Is it iodine? That's what conventional medicine wants you to believe. If it's iodine, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, which shows that iodine levels have fallen 50% over the last 30 years, can't be true because Hashimoto's disease has increased at pandemic or epidemic rate since then. It hasn't gone down. Could it be salt? Well, could it be a goitrogen, something that's irritated the thyroid? Or is it a combination of things like salt and a goitrogen? That iodine levels have fallen 50% over the last last 30 years, can't be iodine. Government's own studies show can't be iodine that's causing Hashimoto's and Graves' disease. His iodine levels have fallen 50%. Hashimoto's disease is impossible to experimentally induce by only administering iodine, only by administering anti-thyroid drugs, which are known as goitrogens, can you induce Hashimoto's disease in laboratory animals. Goitrogens induce not only hyperplasia, they're precancerous to the thyroid gland, they cause iodine deficiency. So the conventional approach to treating autoimmune thyroid disorders, they use drugs to relieve hyperthyroid symptoms, beta blockers, PTU, other drugs. I do use the drugs occasionally, someone's in a hyperthyroid crisis for a temporary measure, but really the drug shouldn't be the mainstay because these people don't have a drug deficiency syndrome. They have nutritional imbalances, particularly related to iodine deficiency. Radioactive iodine use in medicine is the conventional approach. The theory is iodine is taken up by the thyroid gland. The radioactivity destroys all the surrounding cells wherever it's taken up. Remember, Hippocrates said, give no deadly medicine to anyone. When you do these radioactive iodine uptake studies, which you, they're done today, 10 to 32% is reported as normal uptake by the thyroid gland. Well, that means if you inject radioactive iodine in someone, 10 to 32% uptake in your thyroid gland, 68 to 90% is taken up elsewhere. Where is it taken up? The ovaries, the testicles, the parathyroid, the adrenals, the breasts, everywhere else. What does it do when it's taken up in those tissues? It destroys the surrounding cells. I don't think that's a good idea. In Werner and Ingber's The Thyroid, the Bible for endocrinologists for thyroid problems, it says radioactive iodine is effective, safe, and relatively inexpensive. Is it effective? Well, if the goal is to destroy the thyroid, then you've got an effective treatment. But that's only if the cause of autoimmune thyroid disorder is too much thyroid tissue that needs to be destroyed. That's silly. That's not the cause. It's the consequence of the illness. Is it safe? Well, radioactive iodine, I said, binds to all tissues where iodine is bound to. Where is iodine bound to? I told you it's bound to every cell in the body, especially the glands, breast, the prostate, the ovaries. All the tissues of the body utilize iodine. That means all those tissues are going to have radioactive exposure to it, which I don't think is a good thing. Is it inexpensive? The cost of radioactive iodine is $3,000 to $6,000 per treatment. Iodine costs less than 50 cents per day. A radioactive iodine only works in an iodine deficient state. It's ineffective when there's enough iodine in the body. When Chernobyl blew its top a few years ago, what did they give people in the surrounding areas and the surrounding countries? They gave them iodine pills to take. That means if you have enough iodine in your thyroid gland, 50 milligrams, if you're exposed to radioactive iodine, it's going to pass right through you without binding. Not going to harm you at all. The question I'd ask is, why was iodine removed from bakery products in the first place? Why did they make us more iodine deficient? One of the theories that I might have is that radioactive iodine use in medicine doesn't work if people are iodine deficient, meaning they can't run their tests. So they can only run their tests if they keep us iodine deficient. Yeah, and I'd say if radioactive iodine doesn't treat any underlying cause of the illness, then why should it be the primary treatment modality to use for any condition? It shouldn't be used at all. If people have a large thyroid that needs treatment, I say send them for surgery if you can't correct the underlying problems with it. And about once or twice a year, I will send a patient for surgery on their thyroid. I don't use radioactive iodine, nor do I recommend it for anybody. So how do you prevent radioactive iodine from damaging the thyroid gland? You want to ingest enough iodine to maintain iodine sufficiency of the thyroid gland so it can't bound up any radioactive iodine. How much iodine do you need? Well, you need between 10 and 100 milligrams. Lower doses will not correct this problem. So what's the holistic approach to treating autoimmune thyroid disorders? You got to clean up your diet. Gluten-free. I wrote a gluten-free book with my nutritionist. We find gluten problems in a vast majority of people with autoimmune problems and with other health problems. Get off aspartame and Splenda. These artificial sweeteners are not good for autoimmune problems in the body, and particularly for autoimmune thyroid problems. Clean up your diet of trans fats. Eat whole foods. Take the right vitamins and minerals. Balance your hormones. Treat underlying infections if they're there. And rectify an underlying iodine deficiency. That's a holistic, comprehensive way to treat a systemic problem in the body that treats the underlying cause of the illness, not just relying on toxic drug therapies that doesn't treat any underlying cause. This next slide is a picture of a patient of mine, Tracy. She's holding her couple of month newborn old baby here. Tracy was going to the store and not feeling good, and her brain wasn't working. She'd get to the grocery store and she couldn't remember why she was there. She didn't write a list down. She would buy her groceries and get lost coming home because she couldn't remember where she lived. She was mixing up the kids' lunches for school. She felt like her brain had aged markedly in a short period of time. She went to her doctor, saw her doctor. He told her, you have a thyroid problem. TSH is 175 on this first slide. On the next slide, he puts her on Synthroid. TSH is now 1.0. Tracy tells her doctor, my brain's not working. I can't go to the store and get what I want to get. I get lost going home. The same symptoms she had before. She feels terrible. What does her doctor want to do to her at that time? He wants to put her on an antidepressant. Well, Tracy tries an antidepressant, actually feels worse. Reads my iodine book and wonders if she has an iodine problem. Tested her iodine levels, which were markedly low. They were below detectable limits on a spot urine iodine test. Her loading test was markedly low. I changed her over to desiccated thyroid and put her on iodine. And Tracy felt markedly better once we corrected this iodine deficiency problem. She did not have an antidepressant medicine deficiency problem going on. She had nutrient deficiencies. I don't see Tracy very much anymore because she feels good. We've treated a lot of Tracy's in our office over the years. Iodine deficiency in the thyroid gland. Goiters, the relationship between iodine and thyroquine has been known for over 100 years. The first articles were written in the 1800s about goiter and iodine deficiency. The relationship between hypothyroidism and iodine deficiency has been written over for 100 years as well. Autoimmune thyroid illness, again, I showed you Plummer's study in the early 1900s, Graves and Hashimoto's disease. We know with thyroid cancer, there's a reduced iodine accumulation detected in the majority of thyroid cancers. All those conditions have been rising over the last 30 years while iodine levels have been falling, 50%. Iodine and thyroid cancer, increased TSH induces hypertrophy or swelling of the thyroid gland. However, intrathyroidal iodine deficiency, that means when there's iodine deficiency inside the thyroid gland, it induces hyperplasia, which is the precursor to autoimmune illness and cancer of the thyroid gland. Same thing's happening in the breast, prostate, ovaries, uterus. The use of thyroid hormone to treat elevated TSH will decrease swelling of the thyroid gland. However, thyroid hormone will not reverse that precancerous, pre-autoimmune stuff if iodine deficiency is present. So I say you need to evaluate iodine levels first in thyroid illnesses before instituting thyroid hormone therapy. Now, I started using iodine in my practice about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. I had already been doing holistic medicine for about 7 or 8 years before that. So I had a lot of people on thyroid hormones, and I was putting them on iodine therapy. So what I found is they did markedly better. About a third of those people I was treating with thyroid hormone were able to come off the thyroid hormone once they went on iodine. One-third of those people were able to decrease their thyroid hormone in half, and one-third stayed the same. But the vast majority of people felt better. So the conventional approach to autoimmune thyroid disorders treats the symptoms only. It doesn't treat the underlying cause of the illness, and it only utilizes drugs that block the absorption of iodine, PTU, tapazole. It uses radioactive iodine, which I said shouldn't be used in anybody, and occasionally surgery if things get way out of hand. The holistic approach takes care of the underlying cause of this illness, and we've seen positive results with doing this in our practice on a daily basis. So we're back to the periodic table in those halides, fluoride, chloride, bromide, and iodine. So the study of 8 patients that I did, I didn't screen those patients for anything. They were all holistically treated patients. They were already on a regimen of vitamins and minerals. Many were on thyroid hormone. Most of these people, 7 of 8, were on thyroid hormone. But I did a 24-hour test to look at their bromide, fluoride, and iodine levels. Let's look at bromide first. At baseline, before they took iodine, bromide levels were at very high amounts, over 15 milligrams excreted over 24 hours. When they took 50 milligrams of iodine at day one, bromide levels went up 25%. And if we go to the next 2 slides, you'll see a baseline for bromide, and then at day one, you'll see the 50 milligram increase, 50% increase. Bromide's a toxic item. It has no therapeutic effects on the body. However, 30 days after taking iodine at 50 milligrams per day, the excretion of bromide was up 56% over normal. We shouldn't have any bromide in our bodies. We don't want it in our bodies. These were mostly healthy patients. What I find with people with cancer, autoimmune disorders, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, their bromide levels are twice as high. And I'm finding this consistently. If we look at the fluoride slide, the baseline, large amounts of fluoride being excreted. We don't want fluoride in our bodies. One day after taking 50 milligrams of iodine, look what happens. Fluoride excretion goes up 78%. After 30 days of taking iodine, fluoride excretion is 82% higher over baseline. So now you're giving the body what it needs, iodine, and it's kicking out the things it doesn't need, such as fluoride and bromide. Let's look at the iodine levels. At baseline, almost no iodine being excreted in the body. These people are iodine deficient, even though they were treated holistically. They just weren't taking iodine. I didn't know about it before then. One day, after taking 50 milligrams, now they're excreting 20 milligrams of iodine. So that means the body held on to 30 milligrams. That's how deficient they were. Body needed most of that iodine. 30 days after iodine, you can see they're coming up closer to normal, but they're not quite there yet. My experience has been a healthy person takes 6 months to a year at 50 milligrams per day to get their iodine levels up, to get their bromide and fluoride levels down. Sick people, sometimes 3 to 5 years. What about bromine? We know there's increases in thyroid disorders, hypothyroidism, autoimmune thyroid illnesses with bromine ingestion, increase in thyroid cancer, and increase in cancer in general. Breast, probably the prostate as well as other cancers have been associated with bromine. So where else is bromine found? Here's a slide showing a Mountain Dew wrapper. Look what's on the side of the wrapper here. Brominated vegetable oil. If you see that, I tell you to avoid the product. Bromine's been used in many prescription medicines. 150 years ago, it was used as a sedative. It's still used today, as I show you in many of these medications. Here's a Spirevia inhaler ad that I was sent, and I circled here the bromine, bromide part of it. I don't say you should use any medication with bromide in it. It's going to kick out iodine in your body and make it bromide toxic. This is a study looking at household dust. Polybrominated diphenyl ethers have been accumulating in human blood, fat, and breast milk over the last 50 years. It's a flame retardant. It's in carpets, cushions, televisions, computers, coffee makers. It's all over the place. It's in baby clothes, baby furniture. A survey of 17 homes in Washington, D.C. and Charleston, South Carolina found high PBDs and household harmful gas that was found in every sample throughout those houses. Study lower bromine levels, stop ingesting bromine-containing products, soft drinks, medicines, eat organic food, and most importantly, supplement with iodine, which will kick bromine out of the body. Fluoride, it's in that family of halogens. It's added to drinking water to surround cavities, even though it's never been shown to actually prevent cavities. The only thing fluoride's shown to do is for the growing tooth from 3 to 13 and may have some slight protection against cavity growth. After 13, there's no known benefit of fluoride. If you look at the next slide, here's the tooth decay trends from the World Health Organization from about 1960 to 2000. You can see fluoridated versus unfluoridated countries. There's only four fluoridated countries on here. There's no difference in tooth decay trends. They've been declining throughout the world since 1960. Fluoride has nothing to do with it, even though the conventional dentist can't recognize that. Fluoride's been shown to cause bone cancer, dental fluorosis, hip fractures, lowered intelligence, kidney toxicity. It causes an inability of the thyroid gland to concentrate iodine because it inhibits the conversion of thyroid hormone as well as the uptake of iodine into the thyroid gland. It's a known goitrogenic agent, and it's much more toxic when iodine deficiency is present, similar to bromine. There are no long-term studies that prove that long-term fluoride ingestion has any positive benefit. Fluoride's in many medications. If you look, when the FDA pulls a medication from the market and you look at the chemical structure of that medication, most of those medications have a toxic halide, bromide, or fluoride in it, with fluoride much more so than bromide. Esmonol's been recalled, Bacol, Benfen, Propulsid, Posicor, all recalled. But also look what's on this slide, Paxil and Prozac. There's been reports of increased breast cancer with SSRI use because they have these chemicals in them. Lexapro, an antidepressant. Cipro, an antibiotic prescribed for millions and millions of people. It's got the wrong chemicals in it. This slide shows you fluoride concentrations of different teas, which can be high. How about chloride? It's also in that family of halogens. There's up to 100 grams of fluoride in the human body. We need chloride. Not a toxic substance for the body. However, the oxidized form of chloride, chlorine, is a disinfecting used in hot tubs and swimming pools, chlorinated water, a whitener. You can use it as bleach. You can use it as whitening your teeth. Chlorine and the byproducts of chlorine is a toxic substance for our body that we need to avoid. Particularly when you heat it, byproduct is dioxin. It's one of the most carcinogenic agents known to mankind. It's linked to birth defects, cancer, reproductive disorders, including stillbirth, as well as immune system breakdown. When you heat your dishwasher in this chlorinated water, that steam contains dioxin-like products. Sucralose, the artificial sweetener, is chlorinated table sugar. If you heat sucralose, such as putting in coffee or tea, you're making a dioxin-like product that is a toxic substance for our bodies. Perchlorate is a natural man-made chemical. Most of the perchlorate in the U.S. is made from rocket fuel and pyrotechnics. It's also used in manufacturing for other things. Perchlorate is a competitive inhibitor of iodine uptake and binding in the body. And it's 30 times as strong as iodine in binding to the symporter, which transports iodine into the thyroid gland. So what that's saying is, if you take equal amounts of perchlorate and iodine in our bodies, perchlorate is 30 times stronger binding to that transport molecule to block iodine from getting into the cell. Perchlorate is a known goitrogen because it messes with that transport of iodine into the cell. And there's no known therapeutic use for perchlorate. The next slide shows the perchlorate's manufactured across the U.S. And you can see, if you look down towards California and Arizona, concentration of perchlorate manufacturing areas, which is why the lower Colorado River is contaminated with perchlorate. Now, remember, the lower Colorado River, as shown in this slide, irrigates more than 1.8 million acres of land, 15% of the nation's crops, 13% of the nation's livestock, and over 90% of the U.S. winter lettuce supply is grown in areas irrigated by Colorado River. 130 samples of commercial lettuce are tested, organic, conventional, prepackaged head lettuce, as well as adult and baby green. 83% tested positive for significant amounts of perchlorate. Organic as well as conventional samples tested positive because they're using the same water to irrigate these crops. It's even worse. 47 dairy samples from 11 states in this slide were looked at. 36 human breast milk samples from 18 states. 81 of 82 samples, 99% tested positive for perchlorate. The average sample for human breast milk was 500 times higher than dairy milk. That's because we've let humans get much more iodine deficient than animals. And this perchlorate toxicity goes way up in humans as compared to the animals. The iodine content of the milk was inversely correlated with perchlorate levels. Therefore, the higher the perchlorate levels, the lower the iodine levels. What's the baby going to get from this milk drinking from the mother? They're going to get perchlorate. They're going to get bromine. They're not going to get iodine. Is it any wonder all these children have so many behavioral disorders and depression, and you know, we're seeing such a psychological decline of our young population right now. Iodine is also a detoxifying agent, as shown here. It's been known to detoxify the halides, bromide, chloride, chlorine, but it also can detoxify mercury, aluminum, and arsenic. So let's spend a few minutes talking about iodine and breast illness. And is iodine deficiency responsible for breast illnesses, including breast cancer? We know iodine concentrates in the breast. It's secreted from the breast, and breasts are one of the main storage sites for iodine in the body, and a normal breast architecture will not develop when there's iodine deficiency. And iodine deficiency can alter the structure and function of the breast and set up the stage for cysts, fibrosis, nodules, and eventually cancer, same as in the thyroid, the ovaries, and the uterus. So in a study by Eskin, where they gave 24-hour radioactive iodine uptake in 57 normal and 8 fibrocystic breast disease patients, what you can see here is the abnormal patients had two-fold higher uptake of iodine compared to of the normal patients. Therefore, their breasts were more deficient of iodine. And that's exactly what I see with my patients. Breasts had a second major glandular storage site for iodine. Only the thyroid contains more iodine glandular-wise. In an iodine deficiency, the breast and the thyroid will compete for iodine. Diseased breasts will uptake more iodine than healthy breasts. Therefore, illnesses of the breasts require larger amounts of iodine, as well as illnesses of the thyroid, ovaries, uterus, prostate, all the glandular tissue of the body. How about fibrocystic breast disease? These are women that have painful, hard breasts. They're chronically inflamed. And it's a precursor to breast cancer, which has been shown in recent studies. Causative factors in conventional medicine, they say estrogens do it, and they treat it with birth control pills. These people don't have birth control deficiency syndrome going on. Dietary changes do help. Eliminating caffeine. The reason eliminating caffeine helps, it decreases your iodine requirements. Caffeine revs your body. You need more energy to stay up with that revving of the body. If you don't have iodine, you can't produce the energy in your body. Getting rid of trans fats also helps with this. Conventional medicine says vitamin A and vitamin E helps, and it does help somewhat. But if we look at the next slide, an autopsy series reported 3% incidence of fibrocystic breast disease in 1928, 89% incidence of fibrocystic breast disease in 1973. Why such a huge increase in nearly 50 years? Iodine is the most studied element in treating fibrocystic breast over the last 100 years. It's extremely effective at treating fibrocystic breast disease. This patient is Marianne. Marianne is a 45-year-old nurse. She had fibrocystic breast for over 15 years. She was seen by numerous specialists and was actively contemplating a bilateral mastectomy. She said her breasts were so sore she couldn't exercise, couldn't wear a bra, couldn't stand anything bumping up against it or touching it, couldn't even stand her clothes touching it. She was in pain all the time. She was going to a fibrocystic breast specialty clinic and told her to clean up her diet. They tried birth control pills. None of that helped with her. When I did an iodine loading test on her, she was 27% when normal is greater than 90%. I treated her with 15 milligrams of iodine and iodine. Within 3 weeks, all her symptoms improved. In 2 months, no pain. Marianne calls me. She's feeling great. She's happy. About a year and a half later, I get another phone call saying, they're coming back. My breasts are getting sore again. I said, well, that's odd. How much iodine are you taking? And there's a long pause on the phone. She goes, you know, I forgot about that iodine. I said, how long were you off the iodine? She says, about 6 weeks. She went back on to 50 milligrams. Within 3 weeks, no pain. You know, had totally normal breasts now. Her doctor and specialist that she was seeing for this tells her it feels like she's had a breast transplant because her breasts feel like totally different items on her body compared to what they felt before. Why is iodine a therapeutic treatment for cancer? It's an antioxidant. It can trigger cells to move into a differentiated cycle, which is what we want out of our nutrients. It stops those cancer cells from constantly dividing and growing to get a normal cycle where they'll eventually die like normal cells do. It's an alkalinizing agent, as I mentioned before, and it's been shown to change tissues from a pathological hyperplastic state to a normal state. That's been shown in the thyroid as well as the breast and the ovaries. It's been shown in the same way, and I'm sure it's the same way in the prostate gland, even though the studies haven't been done. The relationship between breast cancer and hypothyroidism was first reported over 100 years in 1896. There's no consensus, but researchers feel there may be a link between low thyroid predisposing one to getting breast cancer, as well as other cancers, since we know that low thyroid predisposes to a poor immune system functioning. We know it can also be other hormones in the body, which sets the stage for poor immune system function. Other studies have shown an increased risk of breast cancer when one takes thyroid hormones. It's periodically reported in the literature over the last 30 years. The incidence of breast cancer is reported to be higher in those that took thyroid hormones. It's twofold higher in those that took thyroid hormones. So I said, what could be the link between studies reporting that hypothyroidism increases the incidence of breast cancer and other studies that report that thyroid supplementation increases the incidence of breast cancer? I would see these studies come out in the literature about every 5 years that taking thyroid hormone increases your risk of breast cancer. I would look through the studies. I would try and find faults with them. Many times I couldn't, and it bothered me because I couldn't explain that. I had to go back, look at my physiology and biochemistry, and let's go back to to Bill Clinton's second re-election campaign where James Carville told him, it's the economy, stupid. What James Carville would have told me when I wasn't figuring out the answer for it, it's the iodine, stupid. That's what I felt like when I figured it out. Common link is iodine. Over the last 30 years, iodine levels have fallen 50% from the government studies. Breast cancer rates have risen dramatically. Thyroid rates have risen dramatically. The use of thyroid hormones when there's iodine deficiency present will exacerbate an iodine deficiency problem. In the National Health Study in 1990, 15% of the female population had iodine deficiencies via urinary iodine levels. 1 in 7 women. It's the same rate of breast cancer that was occurring at the time. And even today, it's even more than that. We know bromide is a competitive inhibitor of iodine, and it's been shown to cause and exacerbate iodine deficiency. So can bromide cause breast cancer? Once I realized that this relationship was going on, I did a study of 18 female patients. So I randomly selected them, 9 with breast cancer, 9 without breast cancer. Measured the levels of fluoride, bromide, and iodine pre-level before they took anything. 1 day post 50 milligrams of iodine, 30 days post 50 milligrams per day of iodine. What were the results? The pre-levels, even the breast cancer patients were almost twofold higher. They shouldn't be excreting any bromide. So both the normal and the breast cancer patients were excreting too much bromide, but the breast cancer patients twofold higher. 1 day after taking 50 milligrams of iodine, the breast cancer patients still almost twofold higher, and 30 days later, the breast cancer patients still significantly higher as more comes about. How about prostate cancer? The research are not as complete as for breast cancer. We know the Japanese have significantly lower prostate cancer, Japanese men, as compared to U.S. men. And Japanese men that move to the U.S. have a higher rate of prostate cancer as compared to mainland Japanese. I'm telling you, the common link here is iodine deficiency. It's the same thing with uterine, ovarian, thyroid, breast, prostate. A lot of animals. Animal research has been clear that in an iodine deficient state, animal breast tissue will show signs of developing breast cancer, those hyperplastic precancerous conditions. And Etkin writes, it does appear as the maintenance of the optimal structure and function of the breast requires the presence of continuous and specific amounts of iodine in the milligram doses we're talking about. And again, iodine's been associated with breast cancer, ovarian, endometrial, stomach, you know, all the glandular tissues of the body. Dimethylbenzanthrocyne induces breast cancer in rats. Iodine supplementation has a suppressive effect on tumor growth and formation when they're given this chemical. And it's an enhanced suppressive effect when progesterone is added to iodine. This is where you want to use all these holistic things together. And suppressed tumors have significantly higher iodine content as compared to tumors that are growing out of control. So how much iodine should you take? Do a loading test. Test your levels. On this slide, it describes the loading test. You take 50 milligrams of iodine. You collect 24 hours of urine. But we're looking at how much your body absorbs. The more deficient you are, the more you're going to absorb. The more you have iodine in your body, the more you're going to kick out. What we found is when there's 90% excretion, about 45 milligrams leaving you, 5 milligrams staying in your body, then you pretty much have enough iodine. Here's the breast cancer mortality rates for Japan, U.S., and U.K. You can see they're much lower in Japan. They eat about 100 times more of the RDA for iodine than we do. So, final thoughts. Iodine deficiency is common. It's not rectified by the use of iodine salt. Iodine deficiency may be the underlying cause of breast cancer and breast illness, as well as cancer of the endometrium, the ovaries, stomach, and the prostate. And using a combination of iodine and iodine is much more effective than using iodine alone. I'd like to finish with a case history. 70-year-old female with stage 4 inflammatory breast cancer. She declined conventional treatment. She was given 3 to 6 months to live. I treated with a holistic regimen of vitamins, minerals, herbs, bioidentical hormones. I put her on detox. 2.5 years later, she's still alive. She's fairly sick with her cancer, and I learned about iodine. And I did an iodine test. She was one of those breast cancer studies that I, those 16 women that I had in the breast cancer study. I put her on 100 milligrams of iodine per day due to her cancer. She calls me up and says, after about 2 weeks of therapy, I got a problem. I said, what's the problem? She says, my nightshirt's turning yellow over my breast. And she had lesions and open lesions on her breast, part of her cancer. And I said, well, how do you feel? And she said, I feel fabulous. I haven't felt better in years. I said, well, why don't you come in, bring the nightshirt in. She brings the nightshirt in and her fingernails were yellow. She did not have yellow in her eyes, but she had yellow fingernails and yellow coming out of her breast. I left her at that 100 milligram dose because she was feeling so good. The yellow came out of her for about another 3 to 4 weeks. It stopped. We left her on the 100 milligrams of iodine. She lived about another 4 years. So around 6.5 years from her initial diagnosis, the breast cancer killed her in the end. She had a good quality of life until the very end. I think she was detoxing bromine from her body. My only regret with this patient, you know, looking back at it, was I probably should have used more iodine in her. So let's finish with just side effects for iodine. Everyone says they're allergic. Not everyone. Lots of people say they're allergic to iodine. They have an allergy to it. Allergy to shellfish. Or they got radioactive dye. None of that means you're allergic to inorganic non-radioactive iodine. If you have an allergy to iodine, I use a technique called NAET. Very effective. It is an acupressure technique. I've had 3 people documented allergy to inorganic non-radioactive iodine, what we're talking about here, in 5 years. 2 of those people were treated with this NAET, able to take iodine. 1 was not able to take it. You can have, in conventional medicine says you get autoimmune thyroid disorder with iodine. Iodine was the treatment of choice before autoimmune, before the onset of radioactive iodine. Its effective treatment takes back over 100 years. You know it now. Iodine levels have fallen 50% over the last 30 years when autoimmune illnesses have increased at a pandemic rate. You can get a detox reaction from iodine, and it can detox those chemicals down this slide. And if you use proper nutritional support, keep the pH balanced with unrefined salt, eat a good diet, give the liver support, I don't find this a big problem. In the medical textbooks, they'll say iodine-induced hypothyroidism and goiter. I don't want to go through that here because they'll quote Hokkaido, Japan. But Hokkaido, Japan was not an incidence of iodine causing iodine-induced hypothyroidism and goiter. It just doesn't exist, and I don't see it in my practice. How about iodine-induced hypothyroidism? You could have a hyperfunctioning autonomous nodule. It's a very rare possibility. We haven't seen it in our practice. I had one doctor first-time report to me a few weeks ago in California that she had one patient with this. That can be a rare possibility and needs to be followed, and that's why you should work with a doctor who's knowledgeable with this. Iodism. Iodism is a metallic taste in the mouth, increased salivation or saliva, sneezing, coryza, frontal sinus headache, and acne. Now, iodism is the same as bromism. I think actually the signs of iodism are probably bromine coming out of the body. And it's a detox reaction that, again, if you just eat a healthy diet, get enough salt, get enough water, maybe start a little bit lower in iodine. If you get side effects, you can build yourself back up. It's generally not a big deal. It occurs in 1 to 3% of people. And just by using a holistic approach to it, it's not a problem. And thyroid cancer has been rising while iodine levels have been falling. That's just not the case with iodine supplementation. Iodine is prophylactic against thyroid cancer. So how do you minimize the adverse effects? Use adequate vitamins and minerals. Magnesium can help out. Unrefined salt is part of that regimen. The final thoughts are iodine levels have fallen 50% in the last 30 years. During this time, there's increases in thyroid illnesses, autoimmune illnesses in general, thyroid cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, as well as other cancers. And if iodine were a dangerous agent for the above conditions, the incidences of these conditions would not be rising over the last 30 years. They'd be falling. Start slow. Check pre and post levels of iodine. I follow my patients closely. And if you combine it with a holistic plan of diets, vitamins, minerals, detox, bioidentical hormones, you get a better result than using iodine alone. Let me finish with a quote by Albert St. George, the founder of vitamin C. He said, discovery consists in seeing what everybody else has seen and thinking what nobody has thought. That's why we're here today. Iodine is a wonderful nutrient. I'm sure you'll find the same wonderful results with it I've found in myself, my family, as well as my patients.
All right, so if you listened to him, then you understood that there are things that destroy your iodine levels in your body. This is not a fad. This is like why you are screwed up. This is why 90%, easily 90% of the diseases and problems that humans have in America can be cured with proper intake of iodine. See, this doctor is a nice guy, and he's got the idea that you need a holistic approach to health. He missed it, the fact that the reason that the iodine was taken out is because the United States is a massive corporation ran by corporations that use us as if we're bags of blood for them to suck on. They want you sick. They want you unhealthy. There's different levels of sick. You know, there's like, you get the sniffles or you got cancer. I mean, this is on both sides of the spectrum. They don't care one way or the other. But if you don't have iodine in every cell of your body, then weird manifestations start popping up. Okay, we have the Lugol's iodine, which is a 2% iodine solution. And people in the chat room are asking, well, how come you don't have a 5% solution? Well, here's why. And this is what the doctor was talking about, a 5% solution. Here's why. It's because the DEA has decided that iodine is a precursor to manufacturing illegal drugs. So if you get a 5% solution of iodine, of Lugol's iodine, from anywhere, I don't care where, you get it off of Amazon, get it off eBay, you go to the only manufacturer in the United States, or you get it from me, then the DEA is going to track you. No, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is what happens. Anyone who buys a 5% solution of iodine in anything is going to, a flag is coming up with the DEA, and that's why we only sell the 2% solution. But like I was saying, there's so many different things that lack of iodine causes, everything from lethargy to dizziness to nausea. Picture what happens when all your hormones are screwed up. I have seen teeth start to fall out. I've seen gum disease pop up, eczema, psoriasis, joint pain. You can name it. So here's the thing. If your body has the proper tools, it can take care of itself. Iodine is the major, major tool that everybody needs. If you get nothing else anywhere, iodine would be the simplest thing to take. I remember as a kid, now when I say iodine, I don't mean methylate. I don't mean anything you buy in the store that says iodine, because it's not mixed right. Pure iodine is toxic, especially when they have it mixed in alcohol. And that's why you can't do it. You can't use it. It's dangerous. As a matter of fact, the material safety data sheet for methylate says only small applications are acceptable on the skin, because it will soak into the skin via osmosis and the alcohol won't evaporate as fast as it should. Now, the Lugol solution is 2% iodine, 4% potassium iodide, and then 94% distilled water. And the purpose of all of this is that it is water soluble so that a human can take. There are some unscrupulous vendors out there on the internet. One of them has the initials AJ, and he sells some crap called Shield, but it's basically, they call it nascent iodine. Most people have no clue what nascent means. Nascent means newly coming out, just opening, like a nascent movie theater or nascent videos. Edgar Cayce, decades ago, came out with an idea how the human body needs iodine, but he didn't know how we could take it safely. So he devised this complicated process of suspending it or mixing. Nobody quite knows exactly, in an acid bath and zapping it with anywhere from 10 to 30 amps for 30 minutes to break down the molecular bonds, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's ever done it, but that was his idea to make this atomic iodine. That's what he called it. There is no iodine out there, ladies and gentlemen. Nascent iodine is not iodine. Well, let me give you an example. The stuff that's sold on by AJ, let me tell you what's in it. It has soy glycerin. Guess what soy does? It helps displace iodine in your body. So its product's destroyed right at the get-go. Soy glycerin, water, and kelp juice. There's no iodine in there. You'll see on some of these bottles, if they even give you the ingredients, you'll see organic and natural from 7,000 feet below the sea. Well, they're telling you right there, it's not iodine, it's kelp. There is only one source of iodine that you can take safely, and that would be a Lugol's solution, properly mixed. Kelp is kelp. Kelp is good. I'll tell you a secret for that stuff. If you want to go out and really do a night of heavy drinking, take about 10 drops of that, and you won't have a hangover the next morning. That's about it. It is not going to give you a source of iodine. Lugol's is the only thing you can take. In this guy's lecture, he was talking about how he thinks that a lot of people should be taking the capsules because they give up taking Lugol's. Let me tell you how you take Lugol's. You take a glass of about, 2 ounces, 4 ounces of water. You know, this isn't rocket science. And you put 5 to 20 drops of our Lugol's in there. Then you just drink it. As simple as that. It doesn't matter when you do it. You don't do it 2 or 3 times a day. You just take our Lugol's, put the drops in the water, and you take it. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you the first time I took it, I almost had an out-of-body experience. It changed things for me in a dramatic manner. My son was having a hard time sleeping. Fortunately, now he has no hard time sleeping. He has a hard time waking up. He started taking the Lugol's and everything changed. My wife had a thyroid problem, just all these women out there have these thyroid problems. And the more naive and gullible believe they need to have their thyroid removed or nuked. But she had a thyroid problem and she was trying to take a simple desiccated thyroid and just some other holistic medicines. And it really wasn't working. It wasn't working at all. So I put her on this Lugol's solution. Within a week, her thyroid was handled. It was that fast. So Lugol's solution is vital. Basically, what he was saying also was that the halides displace each other. Bromide, chloride, and fluoride will displace iodine. So if you're eating, drinking, smelling, whatever, breathing chloride, bromide, fluoride, then you're getting your iodine displaced. If you're drinking water with fluoride in it, or if you're buying sodas or drinks that are made from tap water, they have fluoride in them, they're displacing your iodine. On the other side, iodine will displace fluoride and bromide and chloride. Mostly fluoride and bromide will be displaced. And there's many people have said that when they start taking 10 to 30 drops of the Lugol's a day, after a month, they start sweating out yellow. Well, that yellow is bromide. This is the crap that you're getting into your body. Each drop of our Lugol's is 3 milligrams. And it comes in a 4-ounce bottles. And you would take, depending on your body size, and depending if you're trying to treat something. Like he mentioned that there was a woman that had cancer, and she was up to 100 milligrams a day, and it extended her life from 6 months to 6 years. Anything else on the internet is a joke.
So iodine never shows up in nature by itself. It's always mixed with other substances, like kelp. There's iodine in kelp. Kelp isn't iodine. So anybody who is selling anything other than Lugol's iodine, you're wasting your money with it. Now, I want you to understand why I'm doing this, because my job is to help you to survive better without being under the government's thumb. And if you get sick or you have problems and illnesses and you foolishly believe that the government, when I say government, I also mean the AMA and doctors, that they're actually here to cure anything. They're not. Doctors are here to prolong things. They are not to cure it. That's why we get people coming in the store every day that says, yeah, I've been on this pain-relieving drug for 10 years now. I said, well, why the hell didn't they fix the cause of the pain? I don't know. I never asked. We have been so propagandized to trust the authorities, quote-unquote, the authorities in medicine, that we never even contemplate that there is a cure for something or that something can be fixed. I had a person come in here that's been limping for 20 years, and I talked to them a little bit. And I tell people this, They come in and they say, I want to buy blank. And I will talk to them a little bit, and then I'll explain to them, you didn't come in here to buy CBD. You came in here for help, didn't you? And they say, yes. I said, good. Take this card. I've got a chiropractor down the street here. He's one of the best in northern Idaho. He'll work on you for 30 minutes, and he'll find the why behind your problem. So this guy goes there, and 2 weeks later comes back, and he's not limping anymore. And he goes, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't have gone in. He said the first thing he did was put me on my stomach, and it got this commercial vibrator out and started vibrating my back and my hips. I said, yeah, I know. I gave that to him. So he vibrated me, and then he moved me and popped me and twisted me, and then he rubbed me, and then he poked me, and he stuck his elbow in my back, and he did this and did that, and it hurt like hell, but I'll be damned, the next day I was walking straight. So that's what you do. And now think about this. If you're sick, if you're not functioning 100% optimum, what are you in an emergency situation? You're a liability. So you need to make sure that everything that you can do to make sure you're functioning properly is a survival trait. And that's why I teach you how to do all kinds of things. And a lot of them have to do with nutritional products. Some of them don't. Some of them have to do with cars, guns, generators, clothing, food. But it all comes together. So anyway, I hope I hope you got something out of this. I hope you learned something out of this. And if you need Lugol's, we have it, survivalenterprises.com, SE1.us. You can call us 800-753-1981. Leave a message if we don't answer the phone. And now remember, we are authorized to take checks over the phone. So you can call us up, give us your check. It's 100% secure. It's more secure, in fact, than credit cards, because nobody has the data except us. It doesn't go through the internet, and it's deleted instantly. So if you need anything from us, come in, give us a call, whatever. This is the Armchair Survivalist. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. I'm signing off. Till next time.